The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
And today is Friday, April 9th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, after a lot of back and forth with the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Delaware County is getting a mass vaccination site. A large-scale drive-through community vaccination clinic is set to open this weekend at the Delaware County Community College for as long as needed. 4,500 doses are expected to be administered over the weekend. The site has a maximum capacity of about 6,000 a day. This week, the county received 21,000 doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, 7,000 more doses of Moderna, and 2,340 doses of Pfizer. Each week, they'll receive about 20,000 doses. To date, the county administered over 50,000 doses of the vaccine. It now has a goal of vaccinating 140,000 more people in the next 7 weeks. Shots will be administered by appointment only, and you can sign up online at delcopa.gov. You'll also have the option to choose which vaccine you'd like to receive.
They should grab that piece of audio we have, Casey, of the shots. Just to get everyone cranked up when they're getting them.
The Coast Guard came to the rescue of a kayaker who was calling for help off the coast of Longport, New Jersey. Police received a call from a person in the water in distress near Longport Dog Beach and contacted the Coast Guard. A Coast Guard Station Atlantic City 29-foot response boat small boat crew arrived on scene. The responding crew found a man clinging onto a submerged kayak. They rescued the man from the water and returned him to shore. Margate City Fire Department arrived on the scene to assist the Coast Guard. The kayaker was taken to Shore Memorial for treatment, but there's no word on his condition.
Years ago at a family gathering, we were my sister-in-law went out on a kayak. Preston, you pointed this out. We were sitting up in a kayak. You're a sail.
Yeah.
And she did not realize that. Oh. And we were having the barbecue and everyone started eating their burgers. Hey, where's Barbara?
Oh, no.
And like about a half hour later, a powerboat comes by and she's on the back of it and they got the kayak. She was like halfway to Ireland. I mean, and she was like, you know, panicking.
It's got to be terrifying.
It's terrifying. Yeah.
PennDOT activated dozens of variable speed limit signs along 14 miles of the Schuylkill Expressway Thursday.
I saw that this morning.
Balance traffic and reduce congestion.
Yeah, they're lit up.
Yeah.
And one of them, like, was extremely bright. And, like, it threw me off big time. And, yeah, they said 55. And, of course, everyone I was around obeyed the post speed limit.
Well, so that's the I was talking about this yesterday. Like, that's going to be the problem. Mm. Who's actually going to obey them?
I know.
I mean, if you do, it'll work. But like you said, not one person was doing that.
Start handing out tickets.
Do you think that lights that are that bright sometimes are a distraction that can cause accidents where they have something that distracts you? Because I on Lincoln, driving in, I don't know if this is on purpose or whatever, but there are like three like overhead lights in succession that are blinking at the rate you'd find at a rave.
Really?
I swear. Preston,
now, and Lincoln is a windy, twisty road.
Exactly.
I can see that being a little bit.
Like a real distracting. Right. All right, yeah.
But
we're looking at
these weren't distracting. They were just a tad bit bright, but I was like, what? I mean, it was like, 55 is what is like screaming at me. So I guess it gets the point across, but I was surprised by that.
Yeah, so they lit them up yesterday, and it's going to be along 14 miles of the Schuylkill. The major artery in and out of Philadelphia carries more than 130,000 vehicles a day. That's four times what it was built to handle.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, as we all know, the roadway has become known for unexpected traffic jams. PennDOT says since widening the road is not feasible because of its location, the agency is trying several tactics to manage traffic flow.
Steve, I saw the most ironic billboard on 95 near Crozier Hospital. Because it says, and it's a good message, don't get me wrong, but it says, don't text and drive, arrive alive or something like that. And I'm like, but you're putting that on a billboard. I'm reading a billboard. My eyes are not on the road.
I know. Yeah, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't.
These 72 digital signs will increase or decrease the posted speed based on traffic conditions. Roadway sensors and a complex software system work together to lower the speed limit when conditions warrant in hopes of preventing brake tapping, which is the main cause for traffic jams.
Okay, so that's what they're...
So they're going to slow you down, before, like as congestion starts to build, instead of slamming on your brakes, you know, from 90 miles an hour on the Schuylkill to 25 when you get to the Conshohocken curve.
Yeah, that'll fix it. I mean, I hate to be sarcastic about it, but I mean, nothing's ever going to fix that other than widening that, and they can't do it. They remember they talked about stacking, about building a double decker on parts of it, but that was way too expensive and it'll never happen.
Do you think the incremented light system, you know, where you are on the on-ramp to like 476, and they do you think that helps at all?
Yeah, I mean, from what I've seen, it helps at those on-ramps.
At those times.
Yeah, I think it helps on like the Blue Route, but the Schuylkill's a different animal.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for drivers who don't follow the signs, the state police says they will be watching. Pennsylvania State Police says drivers should obey the variable speed limit signs just like traditional speed limit signs. The signs are part of PennDOT's continuing plan to improve traffic flow along the busy Schuylkill. Shoulder flex lanes and ramp meters are planned for the future. As for the variable speed limit signs, officials acknowledge it's up to the drivers to obey the posted limit and resist the urge to hit the gas pedal to make the PennDOT plan work. The variable signs will remain unchanged until May 10th. When the old signs will be removed and the new system will go into effect.
Has the installation of those signs been what's been causing the traffic on the Schuylkill itself this week?
I mean, it's been bad
the last couple of weeks.
That's probably it. There has been lane closures and construction. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, I guess the ends justify the means, but to get to this point, it's been a real pain in the ass.
Yeah.
All right. In sports this morning. The Flyers lost to the New York Islanders in overtime last night.
What the f*** is this?
Nick Obey-Kubel and Jake Voracek scored for the Flyers to bring the team back from a 2-0 deficit to force the overtime. There was no scoring until Brock Nelson scored in the fifth round of the shootout, while no Flyer could score. Carter Hart made 21 saves in the loss. The Flyers are back home tomorrow afternoon with a game against the Boston Bruins, and the puck will drop at 2 o'clock. The Sixers, who have been off since Tuesday, are back in action tonight with a game in New Orleans against the Pelicans. Tip-off for that game is at 8 o'clock. The Phillies, who are in first place in the National League East and off to their best start in a decade at 5-1, open up a road trip with a series in Atlanta against the Braves. Zach Wheeler will get the start for the Phillies. Game time is at 7:20. And at the Masters, Justin Rose shot his best score in his 59 rounds at Augusta National. Rose made 7 birdies and an eagle during a 10-hole stretch for an opening 7-under 65, giving him a 4-shot lead on the day. Rose shot 65 on a day so tough that only 11 other players broke par, and the average score was over 74. Round 2 at Augusta National begins later today. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you, Kathy. So we've arrived here on that blessed day, a Friday. Is the weekend about to open its door for you? We have a few things that we will open up for you as well, including the Money Clip Contest. So we start that at 8 a.m. Another shot at winning $500. Twice will happen with us today. That's at 8 and 10. And every other hour, you're going to have it up until 8 p.m. So don't miss that opportunity. We'll give away our Word of the Week prize, which is cash as well. We get $300 from the Bagster that we have to unload. And I'm sure we have a few other things that we will sprinkle throughout the program. As far as guests go, we spoke to these guys last year, and it was really cool because they had managed to sneak a Preston and Steve reference in to Mystery Science Theater 3000, which we're incredibly flattered of. And so I read a story yesterday that said they were doing a Kickstarter campaign to get a few more shows up and running, and we figured, what the hell, let's give them a call and see if they can come on.
Sure.
Joel Hodgson and Matt McGinnis, who are, you know, from the Philly area. Joel's a, you know, creator and plays Joel Robinson, and Matt's a writer and producer. We'll talk to them later today. They were looking to raise, I think, $2 million yesterday.
They did.
They already raised it. after it was started, like, immediately they raised it. We're like, oh, we could, you know, boost that a little bit, have it on the air, you know.
And they really don't need it.
They already hit their goal. Yeah. But that's pretty awesome. It shows you the power of the people that are rabid fans of a show.
Firmly intrigued. Yes.
And get behind it and make it happen. So we'll talk to those guys later on this morning. They've got to be pretty happy today. And we'll just hang out and have a good Friday. No sad bro day.
Yeah.
Together. So let's take a break. Come back in a second. I have a bunch of stories in the entertainment report for you. We'll have those and a stupid question when we get back. Stay put.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook,
Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so stupid question. We're going to give away our overnight stay and $100 dining credit at Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City. The question that I'm going to ask this morning is, Mercury was the messenger of the gods. What flower delivery company uses Mercury as its logo?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty easy question.
Yeah.
215-263-WMMR. Let's even know. Mercury was the messenger of the gods. What flower delivery company uses Mercury as its logo? 215-263-WMMR. It's already 6:40, so we're running a little bit late. I have a lot of birthdays, so I want to kind of zip through these, if you guys don't mind.
There's
a lot of stories to get to. But we'll start with birthdays today. Paulina Porizkova, 56 years old, former wife of Rick Ocasek, left out of his will, unfortunately.
And pissed off.
Yeah.
Very, very sad.
Cynthia Nixon of Sex and the City. There is another
movie coming? Yes,
there is.
They're going through with it. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. She's 55 years old today. Keisha Knight Pulliam from Cosby. That's right.
That's right.
She played Rudy. She's the one that told us about Bud.
How are you putting files in cakes?
That's right. I always thought she was adorable. And while I like Raven Simone, I was more of a fan of Rudy. So Keisha is 42 today. Dennis Quaid, one of the great actors. Was here in our studio one time.
It was great.
Pretty surreal having him here in person.
We had him on just a little while ago. What was he promoting?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what he was hitting at that particular time. But it was right after those commercials came out.
Was it one of those dog movies?
Yes, it was. It was the second Dog's Life, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he is 67 today.
He's playing Ronald Reagan in a new movie.
He is. You're right. Marty Croft, Steve.
Oh, Sid Marty Croft.
That is correct. Yeah. Brother of Sid Croft. And they are the ones that brought us H.R. Puff and stuff. Sigmund the Sea Monster, Electra Woman and Dinah Girl. Like, oh, that whole slew of show. Lidsville.
That's firmly entrenched in my memory.
Yep.
Saturday mornings, it was Sid and Marty Croft territory.
They were bad,
yep,
but they were great.
For a kid, they were awesome.
Yep. Marty celebrates his 84th birthday today. It's Jenna Jameson's birthday today. Yeah,
I actually saw a picture of her. How old is she?
She's 47.
She's corrected.
She's corrected. She did a couple things. Number one, she did way too much plastic surgery. She also let herself go physically.
Yeah.
She's kind of...
much better now. Right. And also, she is now one of these advocates for people, women in the industry who are trying to leave the industry. Yeah.
Oh, really?
She sort of got a little bit the other way. Yeah,
So she's 47 today. Leighton Meester.
Love her.
From Gossip Girl and Country Strong, I guess.
Hey, Meester.
Hey, Meester.
Hey, Meester.
I think I killed the Meester lady.
She's 35. Jesse McCartney. Now, it says here, Hannah Montana, Alvin and the Chipmunks, Horton Hears the Who. And I know that name. I just can't remember who Jesse McCartney is. It says singer, actor. But anyhow.
Oh, good for him or her.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if it's
him. It's him.
Oh, there he is. Okay.
Oh, I recognize him. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So he is 34 today. Kristen Stewart, the actress.
Yes.
Twilight. And what else?
She's been in a whole bunch of stuff. She's now playing Princess Diana.
Into the Wild.
Into the Wild.
Wait, she's playing Princess Diana?
Yep. New movie.
Wow. Okay. She's 31
today. She's a vampire. Princess Diana. That's what
She's a vampire? Princess
Yeah, that's been occurring on the
Twilight. That could happen.
It's a Twilight series. Yeah, yeah.
Elle Fanning. I love Elle Fanning.
She's great.
Yeah, she's beautiful, talented, the whole thing.
She's my favorite Fanning.
Dakota's younger sister, I think.
Yeah, she's younger, and yet she towers over her.
Wow. Maleficent, we bought a zoo.
Maleficent, she's perfect.
Daddy Daycare, yeah, she plays
perfect.
Sleeping Beauty. Yeah.
Yes.
She is 23 today. Jay Baruchel.
You talking to me this whole time?
From Tropic Thunder.
Baruchel's in a new series with Dennis Leary.
He's in that?
I think he is, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
She's out of my league. This is the end. How to Train Your Dragon. A lot of good stuff. Sorcerer's Apprentice. We talk about how that's a great movie.
He is in the new series, Preston, and he has the thick sort of porn stash that they have him.
God.
It's pretty funny.
He's 39. And then the last birthday, Nick, did I see you pull up Rick Tockett's name?
Yes, sir.
It's Rick Tockett.
Oh,
on the Flyer, 57 years old. And that was your first game, Casey? First fight?
It was the first game I ever got on TV.
You got on TV. That was it.
You got on Prism, right?
Yeah, Prism. He beat up Neil Sheehy.
And that was when you ran down to the glass at the Spectrum?
I was sitting three rows off of the glass.
That's
anyway.
So great.
it's you, clear ridiculous. As day. You can tell it's you. Anyone who's ever seen a picture of you as a kid can tell it's you.
Yeah, there's video of Casey banging on the glass as a kid. It's hilarious. So happy birthday to everybody on this 9th day of April. And we're going to see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Mercury was the messenger of the gods. What flower delivery company uses Mercury as its logo? And we will go to our first caller, and that is Zach. Hey, Zach, good morning.
Good morning, Presbo. How are you?
Good, buddy. All right, Zach, what flower service is Mercury the spokesperson, if you will, for or logo for?
FTD.
Yeah, you got it.
Yes.
FTD. Hang on a second, dude. We're going to give you an overnight stay and a $100 dining credit at Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Atlantic City. Hard Rock Hotel and Casino is ready for you to have a good, clean, fun time with rooms, restaurants, casino, and casino ready for your stay. Book today at HardRockHotelAtlanticCity.com. All right, we're going to start with Khloe Kardashian.
Oh, man, can't get enough of the Kardashians.
Khloe broke her silence over the unedited photo of her that went viral as she and her team struggled to have it removed. We talked about this the other day. She posted a topless shot of herself while discussing the intense pressure.
These are my boobies.
She feels to be perfect.
A topless?
Yeah. She's got her arm
yeah,
around.
Yeah,
yeah.
Another great way to bring attention to herself.
Yeah, of course it is. So in her statement, she said, hey, guys.
These are my bibbies.
She said, this is me and my body unretouched and unfiltered. The photo that was posted this week was beautiful. But as someone who has struggled with body image her whole life, when someone takes a photo of you that isn't flattering in bad lighting and doesn't capture your body the way it is after working so hard to get it to this point and then shares it to the world, you should have every right to ask for it not to be shared, no matter who you are.
She's right.
So she's saying it was because if you look at the video that she posted, she looks way better than that photo.
Mm-hmm.
Listen,
the lighting was good, I guess.
Yeah, we also commented on the original photo. She looked great in it. Mm-hmm. You can actually see she's got some definition in her stomach. It's clear she's been exercising. Listen, everyone takes unflattering photos. The thing that we thought was funny is that there was apparently a team of online staffers attempting to excise this from the internet, like frantically. It's like, it's okay.
So she wrote, the pressure, constant ridicule, and judgment my entire life to be perfect and to meet others' standards of how I should look has been too much to bear. Who feel the constant pressure of not ever feeling perfect enough, I want you to know I see you and I understand.
Oh, she's like one of the Na'vi.
I see you. She said, every day I am told by my family and friends who love me that I am beautiful, but I know that it needs to be believed from within.
Yeah.
Just do you and make sure your heart is happy.
Okay. It's so weird.
That's ridiculous. And gentlemen, I'm rereading this. To be perfect, to meet other standards. You know, okay. I understand what she's saying, but some of this you bring upon yourself. You know what I mean?
A lot of it.
Yeah.
By constantly altering yourself to look a certain way, it's you are now setting a bar. You're setting a standard. And then when something falls below that standard, it's going to be pointed out, hence the nature of social media. If you're going to put it out there, you've got to be ready to take all of that, and it's unfortunate.
There was somebody who was pointing out yesterday, some sort of social media expert, saying there are people who we think we know what they look like that we would have no idea who they were we to meet them without their filter.
Oh, my God. There's an influencer who I follow, and her, if you run into her, if she's local, if you see her in person compared to what she posts, it is
really
a completely different person.
Like, wow. Is this you?
No, no, listen, she's normally she's pretty. She's fine. She's very, she's pretty. She's good looking. But like these photos make her look like a wax figure, fake Barbie doll. It's
what's
so weird.
Yeah,
no.
I'll show you a picture. But
yeah, we want to see pictures. Yeah, and then once we see the picture, we'll say the name on the air.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking.
You know what I do hate though is when you are taking a picture and you want to post it, and you think, let's say it's your wife, you think she looks great in the picture, and then she, I need to look at it, and she hates it.
I guess.
Like, what are you seeing? What I see is a beautiful picture. A beautiful woman in a great picture.
I know. It doesn't matter, though.
I took a funny picture, or my girlfriend took a funny picture of me last week, and I showed it to Kathy. And the reason it's funny is because the cat's in the background doing something funny. But I look horrible in it, right? And I'm like, oh, I should post this. And then I thought for a moment, I'm going to get crap, you know? And it made me not want to post a picture.
Wait, send it to me. Let me see if I can filter it up and make you look good.
All right. Somebody posted the other day some old pictures of me. Probably the worst I've ever looked in my entire life.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny, though.
Yeah. Luckily, you were standing next to a guy who was balding and had a mullet.
But listen, you can turn the comments off, right?
Sure.
On these social media posts.
Yes, you can.
And you probably should. I wonder how that would affect... like a big influencer, like anybody in that Kardashian crew, if they were to start turning the comments off, how bad would that piss off their followers? Would it?
Quick question, this may sound stupid to ask this at this point. There are still likes on Instagram.
Uh-huh.
So you can still register whether you're getting that exposure without the commentary.
You can still get your need.
Yeah.
You know?
But the very opening line is, hey, this is me and my body, unretouched and unfiltered. And that's great. Do that for every photo, and you won't have to deal with the consequences of the ones that are retouched and filtered.
Speaking of Instagram, Preston, did you manage to make it over to Paige Sperannick yesterday?
I did. Steve texted me immediately, alerted me. He's like, Paige Sperannick, by the way, who don't know who she is, she's this stunningly beautiful professional golfer. She's not on the tour, but she's a pro golfer, and she's a great golfer. She's really good, but she is drop-dead gorgeous, stunning, unbelievably perfect body and everything, and she was doing this Instagram live video. Steve's like, go on Instagram right now. She's doing some coverage for the Masters, obviously.
And you know what she has to say about the Masters and everything, just listening to her and the guy she was talking to? It was actually really interesting what they were pointing out. I actually think I might watch a little bit of it this weekend.
She's, number one, that's great to watch. It's very soothing to watch the Masters, but she's, we're watching it right now. I'm moving on.
Okay.
Let's see. What else we have here for you?
I'm going to stay here.
you can stay on her Instagram.
Are you watching it from yesterday?
I am. Yeah.
A year after their split was confirmed, Timothy Chalamet and Lily Rose Depp are sparking reunion rumors. Earlier this week, the Little Woman star was spotted by paparazzi in New York with an unidentified woman, but in his nearby car, photographers spotted Depp.
Ooh.
They spotted Lily.
Lily.
It was
Lily.
A source confirmed to E! News saying it was her. They saw her go in an Uber to place, pick him up and head to Brooklyn. It was her, I swear. This comes amid reports on social media that they were seen holding hands in New York City.
So, Kathy, what do you think of Timothy Chalamet? Attractive?
I don't know who that is.
Oh, okay. Man. Yeah, I think he is.
Women love him.
He's a good looking dude.
The guy is a really good looking dude.
Yeah.
But he falls in that sort of not so rugged, you know.
Wait, you guys think he's so, like so good?
He's a good looking dude. Yeah.
I mean, he's, but no, that,
you gotta
that wouldn't
watch
be
him
my
talk,
cup of tea.
Kathy. You just gotta watch his facial movements. It's just so soft and subtle. I mean,
Jesus.
Right? You guys with me?
Right? Guys?
Yeah. No, I think you guys agree that when you're pleasuring yourself to Timothy Chalamet pictures.
And you and your friends gave your buddy Jeff a hard time about
I'm being tongue-in-cheek here.
Man.
I don't think, Kathy, he is, you know, he doesn't have those chiseled features. He's not your, like.
No. He's got the requisite jaw thing, but what he does, I think he falls in that sweet spot where he's just between pretty boy and, you know, whatever it is. But I guess, he young Johnny Depp would be similar to what he looks like now.
And now he's dating
Johnny's daughter.
Yes. Johnny's daughter, exactly.
Crazy.
All right, what else do we have here for you? Police have been called to Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's Southern California home 9 times in 9 months.
Did you see Prince William coming out and a wife beater? She never makes what I want for dinner.
Don't you disrespect me. I said sport and dick.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
There we go.
That was okay. I was Nick made a reference, and I'm like, what is it from?
Nine times.
All right, the pair expressed security concerns.
She never listens!
During their tell-all with Oprah, and the Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Office has reportedly responded to calls.
He's got caviar stains on the front of his.
I was having a snack!
Listed as property crimes and alarm activations after obtaining the data under the Freedom of Information Act. It was reported by the Telegraph. At 4:13 p.m. on Christmas Eve, deputies were called after a man allegedly trespassed on the property.
I want a new hotel!
37-year-old was booked into the jail. So they're having issues with people stopping by. All right, I love this story. This is great. David Harbour. Love him.
He's great.
One of our favorite guests of all time here in the studio. Spilled some Stranger Things secrets on an Instagram Live. It was 2 days ago. He chatted with fans but forgot that he was in his character Jim Hopper's costume and makeup. I think it was all tongue-in-cheek. I haven't seen it yet. I've just read what he said. He said, "What's up, everybody? How's it going? I haven't done Instagram Live in a little while. I think I can only be here for like 3.5 minutes because I think I have to get on the set fairly soon. I'm here shooting season 4 of our television show. I don't think that I'm supposed to be showing you these things. Who wants to hear spoilers for season 4? Let me just read directly from the script." He got nervous when he saw Millie, Bobby Brown, was watching. He said, "OS." He said, "Millie, oh no. Millie, don't tell Netflix. Don't tell Netflix that I'm doing Instagram Live from set. I'm just going to read your sections of the script, and I'm just going to tell everybody what happens to 11 this season." She then joined him, asking David what he's doing, and he said, "I'm so crazy. I shouldn't be doing this." And then he said, "I'm getting fired." She countered with what, while he might not get fired, he's going to likely get a phone call from someone at Netflix. So they're just playing around and having
fun. He's also, in July, right, is the release for Black Widow?
Yeah, 4th of July weekend.
He's a main character in that.
Yeah, he plays her dad,
her father,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's weird because he's like a Stranger Things. He obviously is in Russia, Soviet Russia.
Yeah.
And he's playing a Russian dad in Black Widow.
Yep. Let me see here. You know, I had a couple of unfortunate deaths, and they are names that are a little bit off the beaten path, but Walter Okelwitz, I think is how you say his name.
You would know him if you saw him in a minute, especially Seinfeld fans.
He's a very recognizable character actor. He had played the bartender, Jacques Renault, on the original Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
He was an oil refinery worker on Grace Under Fire. And in his credits, I was reading, he's just one of those guys. He was in The Rockford Files, Taxi, Barney Miller, Cheers, ER, Family Ties, Married with Children, Moonlighting, L.A. Law, Murder, She Wrote, Dharma and Greg, Seinfeld, and just on and on and on.
And he was the cable guy in Seinfeld.
He passed away. He was 72. He died Tuesday morning at his home in L.A. His son, screenwriter Zach Olkowitz, told The Hollywood Reporter he had struggled with health issues during the past 20 years, had a series of knee surgeries that caused infections that led him to be bedridden and forced him to take a break from acting. He had played, he also in the movies, if you ever saw the movie The Client, which was who wrote that?
John Grisham.
Yeah. He played in the very beginning this character called Romy, who kills himself in front of two kids to get the movie started. Yeah.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah. He returned he had returned to the show's 2017 Twin Peaks reboot, his final credit, by the way. And it was his first role in over 15 years. He did it all from behind a bar to cover up the fact that he couldn't stand, according to his son. So that was the last thing he was able to do. So that's
always liked him.
Sad news. I agree. And then, Steve, another one, and you may know her name, but you definitely know her work. Ann Beats.
Yes. One of the Lampoon originals.
Saturday Night Live writer passed away.
Foundational SNL writer.
Correct. Yeah. So she was one of the original staff on Saturday Night Live, and she created cult sitcom Square Pegs, which I loved.
Yeah, great show.
She was 74 years old.
I loved her.
Wednesday at her home in West Hollywood. Yeah, I was sad to see her.
She was good friends. Might have even been a girlfriend of Michael O'Donohue, who was another, you know, SNL foundational writer, creator.
Yeah, starting in 1975 and running for five seasons, Beats was among a team of gifted writers who helped make Saturday Night Live a cultural phenomenon. Another writer on that show, Rosie Schuster, along with her, would invent the beloved young nerds. Lisa Loupner, you know, played by Gilda Radner, and Todd, who was played by Bill Murray, and even helped coin such catchphrases as Lisa's "That's so funny, I forgot to laugh."
So I was listening to Lorraine Newman's audiobook. It's only available on Audible.
Yeah.
And it's really good. It's a biography, and she mentions Ann Beats and all those that the earliest days of SNL.
Beats would later draw upon her own acknowledged background as an outsider in high school for her own series, Square Pegs, premiering in 1982. Square Pegs was in a rare sitcom centering on teenage girls and starred Sarah Jessica Parker in an early role as a first-year high school student trying to fit in. Square Pegs lasted just one season, but was loved by critics and later praised for anticipating and topping the teen comedies John Hughes would soon become famous for. New York's magazine's Jen Chaney wrote in 2020, "No other show on TV back then would have focused an entire episode on a Pac-Man addiction or a new wave-themed bat mitzvah that featured the actual band Devo performing That's Good."
And you remember, so they had Jamie Gertz was the real school-spirited?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was the popular girl.
Yeah, they're
girl.
Really good.
Yeah.
And then they had the punk rocker.
Yeah, so Sarah Jessica Parker tweeted on Thursday, "Struggling to find adequate and appropriate descriptive words to describe her singular self. I need time because I'm coming up short. Gosh, it was really something. R.I.P. and thank you for my for memories very few 17 to 18-year-olds get to make." Her later credits included Murphy Brown and producing A Different World as well. So sad news there. Do you know where is Square Pegs available for viewing anywhere
yes,
that you know
yeah,
of?
You can find it on.
I think I might go back and watch that.
Yeah, my guess is it would still hold up. It was really sharply written.
Yeah, it was really dated, but I mean, it would be dated, but still, I'd love to walk down memory lane with that one. All right, one last thing. We have a couple other things to do after that, but all right, somebody explain to me this Nike Lil Nas shoe thing. Okay.
Did you watch the video?
I did, yeah.
So, okay. Nike reached a settlement of its trademark infringement lawsuit with art brand Mischief, which is spelled MSCHF.
So, you understand that part, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't.
It was so in other words, this.
Why the lawsuit?
This company mods a Nike product.
Oh, so they took.
Right.
Actual
and,
Nike
and then
shoes.
Was reselling
okay.
it.
That's
and
what
that
I didn't
was a
understand.
Trademark infringement. That's why Nike stepped in.
Okay, so Lil Nas X made Satan shoes for an undisclosed amount. And as part of the agreement, they agreed on a settlement, which is an undisclosed amount. The Nike Air Max 97 sneakers that were modified, there you go, with red and black accents and invented an inverted cross and a drop of human blood, will be voluntarily recalled. Mischief will buy back any Satan shoes for their original retail price of $1,018 to remove them from circulation, although it's unclear how many people will actually want to sell them
back. Wait, who's buying them back?
The company Mischief, who had modded them, yeah.
Yeah.
So the Satan shoes were released in conjunction with the rapper's controversial music video for the song Montero, Call Me By Your Name, which featured biblical and satanic imagery, including his character giving Satan a lap dance. At least 200 of the 666 pairs of Satan shoes that were manufactured were shipped before a judge granted Nike a temporary restraining order on April 1st. And an attorney at the firm that represented Mischief said that they made the Satan shoes, quote, to make a point about how crazy collaboration culture has become.
It's his birthday
What's
today.
That?
Lil Nas?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
he
happy
turns,
birthday,
22.
Lil Nas. I missed him in my
22
celebrity thing.
It's not all that crazy. They didn't get permission from Nike. It's a Nike shoe.
No, and that's why the judge found it in favor of Nike, yeah.
But, okay, so do they buy the shoes from Nike and then mod them, or do they get the shoes from Nike and then mod them? Because if they buy them from Nike, do whatever the hell they want with them, right?
You can't, though. You can't change a trademark product and then resell it.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't. They have to have permission from them. It's their product.
I don't know how that works.
Yeah, that's no. What I'm saying, because if I got a pair of shoes and I wanted to sell them to Casey, I could do that.
Yeah, but if you change them up, you made them look different, and you called them Nikes,
and you mass sold them.
Can't do that.
I think Kathy's right on that. Whatever it was, the judge found in favor of Nike that they so they had how many was it 1,000 pairs of shoes?
666.
Of course, in keeping with Satan.
Yeah, Kathy.
They were $1,000.
Yes.
Yeah, if you buy those shoes and then mod them up.
What about eBay?
They're yours. You could do whatever you want with them.
So eBay is selling a Nike product, right?
Yeah.
It's Nike.
Well, I mean, if I bought a pair of Nikes and I don't want them anymore, I can go sell them on eBay,
you're not
eBay,
changing
right?
the way they look. Nike didn't approve that style, didn't approve that design.
If you were to look at this shoe, you would think Nike was selling this Satan shoe because it's got the Nike logo on the side. And I think that was the point of contention for Nike.
It's how you go about selling them. You know, if you're an incorporated thing like Lil Nas X was, or this shoe was being sold as a marketing
on mass.
Thing. On mass, right. If it's Casey buying a Nike shoe and you
change it. And I painted a duck on it.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's where the fine line is.
He was making money off of it.
Right, and that's why he ended up going to court.
Yeah, jacking up the price after the mod and then making money.
Wait, you have duck shoes?
I do have duck shoes. Casey painted it for me.
Might be interesting.
Duckies.
In that.
Mm-hmm. Duckies, yeah.
All right, it's Friday. That means there's movies over.
Hey!
That means that we got something to talk about. All right. Movies opening this week, and number one is Thunder Force.
Thunder Force.
Comedy adventure starring Melissa McCarthy, Octavia Spencer, and Jason Bateman. Two childhood best friends reunite as an unlikely crime-fighting superhero duo when one invents a formula that gives ordinary people superpowers. Hour and 45 minutes long. It's PG-13. It is streaming, and there is no score on Rotten Tomatoes as of now.
May I suggest something here, just quickly? Her husband is Ben Falcone, who's a very funny guy, and I think is probably better suited to be a funny character in movies along with Melissa McCarthy. So he wrote and directed this.
Yeah.
And he's done a couple of films with Melissa McCarthy that all get ripped to shreds and that usually aren't very good.
Yeah.
So maybe that's not his thing. But as the federal agent in Bridesmaids on the plane.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
Did you end up watching the one with Melissa McCarthy where it's like super intelligence or whatever?
I did.
I enjoyed it,
though. It was cute.
Yeah.
Did Ben Falcone have anything to do with
it? You know what? I don't know. Right. I don't know. They collab a lot, obviously.
Yeah.
But I have a legit crush on Octavia Spencer.
There you go.
She is the cutest thing, man.
Then watch that movie, Ma. She's naughty.
Oh, nyah.
All right, then one more. Voyagers opens this weekend. Sci-fi thriller starring Colin Farrell, Ty Sheridan, and Lily Rose Depp. Go ahead.
All right. I was going to put it to rest, but...
Lily legs.
With the future of the human race in danger, a group of young men and women bred for enhanced intelligence and to suppress emotional impulses embark on an expedition to colonize a distant planet. Soon things descend into chaos as they're consumed by fear, lust, and the hunger for power. It's an hour and 48 minutes long. It's PG-13, and it's got a theater release. Rotten Tomatoes score, 32%.
Oh.
Yeah, not so good. All right, we have breaking news.
Breaking news!
Yeah.
Is it good?
Breaking news.
And I'll read directly from the royal family's tweet. It says, it is with deep sorrow that Her Majesty the Queen has announced the death of her beloved husband, His Royal Highness Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh. He was 101, I think.
99.
Or 100. He was 99. I thought he made it to 100. He passed away this morning.
He just had a birthday. Yeah.
At Windsor Castle. Remember, he just got out of the hospital.
Yeah, he was,
he was in there.
We didn't know he was in the hospital for as long as he was.
Yeah, so, wow.
Listen, what an amazing life.
Yeah.
What an amazing life. I was just looking at pictures. They're releasing more pictures from this video documentary about them. It was like the early 50s. They discovered all this footage of the family. They're taking, you know, Charles on his first fishing trip and stuff like that. It's amazing to see, especially in light of the crown.
If you would like to get a Cliff's Notes version of who Prince Philip you know, was, we can use that term now. Then watch that first season of The Crown.
Yeah.
It delves into his introduction into the family and some of the hurdles he had to overcome to be a part of that family. Also, some of the scandalous things that he was a part of and so on. A guy that I really didn't know much about until I watched that show, and it's very interesting.
You know, you what happens is a lot of times you take, and oh, there's big Leviathan, and I don't... You have no appreciation for it. I think The Crown does a good job of humanizing them.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, there is a context that we cannot understand.
Yes.
You cannot understand that context. You can't understand what happens when you're a young woman and you are become Queen of England.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's... And what comes along with that and the demands. It's incomprehensible.
And he had real tragedy in his life. I mean, he had some awful things happen to him as a young man and as a teenager and young adult. And I mean, what a life the guy's led. It's a century, you know, a century long.
Yeah. And we also, it's hard for us to wrap our minds around having figureheads like that in our nation that are important to the culture, you know.
I keep thinking of Frank Drebin. His description of the monarch. Well, it may seem stupid to us.
Yes. That's right. Yeah. That's right. I forgot about that for the day. Well, that's sad news. So that's just breaking. So we just got that across now. So maybe we'll get to expand on that at some point. In the meantime, we do have some clips to play. So I'm going to go to those. After failing to make the cut to join the now powerhouse Mighty Ducks junior hockey team, 12-year-old Evan's mother encourages him to form a new team of underdogs in the Mighty Ducks Game Changers. And in this clip, star Kiefer O'Reilly talks about what it means to be a Mighty Duck.
They're really good, but they're power hungry, they're mean, they're ruthless. And Mighty Ducks is not the team name. It's, you know, just having fun, be yourself, don't really care about other teams.
New episodes. I haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah.
New episodes of the Mighty Ducks Game Changers stream every Friday on Disney. Here's the next.
I think I want to see this.
Yeah, it looks good. Yeah.
This week on The Falcon and Winter Soldier,
woo-hoo!
The duo teams up to test their abilities and patience in a global adventure. And in this clip, Anthony Mackie discusses what it was like to work on the show during COVID and how that influenced production.
The big takeaway for me was how appreciative I was that everyone was looking out for each other. At no point in time did we have people huffing and puffing. Every single person on the crew were just as invested into this show as we were. That's why I think it's turned out so special. That's why I think when people see it, they're going to love it, because you really got a full-fledged effort to make the show work.
Yeah!
The show is so good.
It's excellent.
I haven't finished the most recent episode. I got to watch part of it the other day, but it's so well done.
You know,
I love Anthony Mackie. I'm so proud that he's managed to have this career and get this, you know, this really big jewel in acting with this franchise, and
the chemistry between the both of them is excellent. The asides, the exchanges, my wife, that's really the main attraction to the show. For my wife, who's just, she, like, a lot of times the real straight up action, she starts to get bored, and of course I love it, but those moments, those interchanges, and those the sort of the staring contest they get into in front of the psychiatrist, it's just great.
Yeah. New episodes, Falcon and Winter Soldier, is today on Disney Plus. Awesome. All right, there you go. That's your entertainment report for you. We're going to take a break. We have guys from Mystery Science Theater 3000 back on our show. We had them on last year, but they had this Kickstarter campaign yesterday. Thought they might need a little boost. They already hit their $2 million goal yesterday. But we're going to have Joel and Matt on to talk about, maybe some new episodes down the road. And we'll get into some other stuff, too. We got a lot to talk about today. We'll take a break, come back, and money to give away as well. Don't miss the money clip.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Money Clips.
Wow, we have a lot of clips.
Your shot at stuffing $500 in your money clip up to 7 times a day. Weekdays at 8 a.m., 10, and noon. Then 2, 4, 6, and 8 p.m. We'll play one of your favorite Preston and Steve clips.
None of them, yeah.
And also give you a keyword. Text that to 45911 or enter it on our website or app to get in the running for the $10,000 grand prize every time you play.
That's crazy!
See official rules and details at WMMR.com.
I'm scared.
Sponsored by Hyundai City, South Jersey's official Hyundai headquarters.
93.3 WMMR.
The rock guys up, everybody.
Everything that rocks.
So I've got some very Philadelphia-centric things to talk about.
Oh.
I think we need to head out on the streets.
Razzmatazz, it's time to pound the pavement with the man who knows all, our City Beat editor, Preston Elliott.
Yeah, I got my finger on the pulse. What's that?
I like the razzmatazz.
Razzmatazz. So we're going to start with this. The Wells Fargo Center announced yesterday that it is planning full capacity shows this fall.
Oh!
Yeah. Now, it remains to be seen. You know, you keep in mind things could change, but as of now, that's the plan. So that's good.
Just hearing that,
yeah,
that they're working towards that in that time frame, understanding that there could be hiccups, but we're going in the right direction.
So Mexico's Banda MS on September 4th is the first one on the books.
That's the only show I wanted to see.
Next up will be Eric Church, the current Country Music Association Entertainment of the Year. That's October 9th. Andrea Bocelli is in slated to sing on December 8th. And the arena also announced two acts slated for 2022, and that would be Kane Brown on January 13th and Roger Waters.
How many
is going to be his postponed tour? And I've got more on music news coming up with that later on. That's in August, August 5th and 6th of 2022. But they're saying that fall, we could see some more things fill up. We'll see how adventurous the bands, the groups are that want to take a chance at booking dates. You know what I mean?
Did you hear about the Wells Fargo modifications? They have they employed, I think it's a $13 million new HVAC system that can refresh, recirculate the air in the entire complex every 30 minutes.
Okay. So it remains to be seen whether COVID-19 restrictions will loosen to allow full capacity shows by fall. As of this week, the city's allowing 20% capacity at Wells Fargo Center for sporting events, up to from 15%. Pennsylvania state regulations allow crowd sizes up to 25% capacity at indoor venues elsewhere. And so there's some smaller venues as well that have made some announcements for full capacity indoor shows. Ardmore Music Hall announced 22 new shows, starting with Ghost Note on September 10th. The Philly band Low Cut Connie is set to play at the Fillmore in Fishtown October 14th. And on Thursday, Union Transfer announced that Michelle Zauner's band, Japanese Breakfast, will open their tour for their new album, Jubilee, there on August 7th. So no word yet on, you know, if that officially is all going to happen or not, but dates are being announced.
Brown, what was it? Jackson Brown and James Taylor.
Yeah, that's outdoors. I mean,
that's outdoors.
Well, at the Shed, yeah. Absolutely. That's the summer. That's one I want to go to. I'm psyched about Roger Waters, too. I've never seen that. I think Casey has. I don't know who else has, but that's one that's on the list. I got to go see that one.
And it might. And I'll get to music news later on, but he's kind of lightly teasing it might be his last run on tour, but maybe not. He's kind of being ambiguous about it. So
he wants to get back to ventriloquism.
Go see him if you have the opportunity, because it may be the last time. So that's step one on the City Beat. And then this really cool thing that Marissa sent me that was out of the Philly Voice. And it's a meme that has been created by somebody who's really had some time to do their research. So I'll read directly from the article. It says here, a fun meme making the rounds on social media this week utilizes the template of an iceberg to illustrate the old tip of the iceberg idiom. So each tier that you see on this meme, it's a photo of an iceberg, and it's in sections where you have above and the very tip, and then so down the layers, because, you know, like 80% of an iceberg is underwater. So it shows an iceberg above and then below the surface of the water. And as you go deeper into the bottom of where the iceberg is, there is more information. I'll explain what all that means. So each tier deeper below the surface takes a closer look at the lore of Philadelphia, the arcana of Philadelphia, from historical events to seemingly random happenings and people who have become part of the local lore, according to the article. And the idea, by the way, this is written by Michael Tenenbaum, in the Philly Voice. So the idea of the meme is that basically that the part of the iceberg above the water, a.k.a. the tip, consists of things that most people know about and associate with Philadelphia, a la Ben Franklin and snowballs and you know, being thrown at Santa Claus and stuff like that.
And in the largest print, Preston, at the top of the page?
Gritty.
Gritty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that makes me mad.
So anyway, as one descends lower, each tier is stocked with people, places, and events that only more seasoned Philadelphians would recognize. And the credit goes to this guy named Cameron Jones. He's a writer and illustrator who moved to Philadelphia from Tampa, Florida, about 5 years ago.
Whoa!
So this guy who's only lived here for 5 years has dived deep into the world of Philly, and it's very well done.
He's pulled up stuff that goes back to maybe even like pre-city, pre-state status.
Yeah, so
I see something in here that would predate Philadelphia proper, yeah.
All right, so do you want to go through some of this stuff?
Yes, it's
and
fascinating.
See if you guys remember a few of these things. So at the very top, at the tip of the iceberg, like I said, you've got anything Ben Franklin. You've got Love Park, the Rocky statue, the Art Museum steps, the Liberty Bell, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so that's what everybody knows. Then you go down just a little bit deeper. And like I said, it goes incrementally. I think there's seven sections eventually. Then you've got the Mutter Museum, okay?
Right.
The SS United States.
I was just by there yesterday. And,
oh, yeah.
God, I want to get on that thing. It looks so cool.
Now, some of these things are in larger font than others. So right. Some are a little bit smaller. So in this section, you'll see things like the Philadelphia Experiment.
You guys all know the Philadelphia Experiment, right? The ship invisibility, supposedly.
You know what else is on here? Hitchbot.
Hitchbot.
Which, of course, we did Birdbot after that.
Yes.
And Popebot actually was our big one.
Yeah.
Frank Rizzo, the Mural Arts Project, the Move Bombing is in very large type. Mm-hmm. Here's one that I don't know from this. And this is just the very top here. Furnace Party. You guys know what that is?
Nope.
All right, Marissa's pointing, so it's on here. It says, it's got an explanation. Letter passed around to Brewerytown residents requesting that they gather at the vacant lot at 27th and Girard, turned into a big party in 2019, turned out to be written by a man who has lived in the neighborhood for 40 plus years. I don't know why it's called a furnace party, though. Marissa would know. Marissa's our city beat expert. Marissa?
Yeah, if you guys remember, a few years ago, there was these letters that were, like, stapled all over Brewerytown. They were put in people's mailboxes, and there was like a tinfoil man involved, and something about a furnace.
About a furnace?
Yeah.
I don't remember
that. Did it come up on our show ever?
We did, because it was very elusive and nobody knew exactly what it was. I'm trying to pull up the party right now. I'm sorry, pull up the letter right now.
Okay.
Furnace letter is what it was called.
Okay. All right, well, anyway, that's one I didn't know.
Me neither.
No. All right, so then just below the surface in the third section on here, and feel free to comment on any of these. Some of these, I'm already don't know. A few of them I definitely am quite aware of. And Marissa said there's some on here that might not be topic for conversation on the show, so I don't know what a few of these are. So let's go with ones we might know. The Wanamaker organ.
Yes,
so we
of
all know about that, Wanamakers.
Learned about that years ago.
Flash mob fights.
I remember those.
Okay. 1964 race riots. I've heard of, but I don't really know much about. The Poe House.
Yes.
You know where that is.
Been love
there
it.
Before. All right. How about Eraserhood?
Haven't heard of Eraserhood.
I don't know that one.
There's a mural on Spring Garden Street. What would you say that is? 13th and Spring Garden? Nick Murphy and I are looking at each other.
Yeah.
Who's the guy that...
David Lynch.
David Lynch. David Lynch wrote that movie at the cafe in Fairmount.
That's right.
He lived here. He was inspired to write that movie by Philadelphia.
Yeah. It was apparently written at the London London Grill, which doesn't exist anymore. And there's a big mural in that area.
Oh, of Eraserhead.
I never realized that. That's so cool. I would recognize that immediately. Yeah, there's a Eraserhead mural right on the side.
I need to see that in person.
12th and Spring Garden.
By the way, we have more murals than any city in the world.
In the world.
In Philadelphia.
I love it.
Yeah.
Preston, I see one right at the top in the upper left. At that level.
Boner Forever?
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, what was that? Remind me.
It's on the side of the building.
Yeah.
That's how we met
female
Joe Pesci. Yeah, that's right.
Wait, but that's gone now, right?
No. Wait, female Joe Pesci or Boner Forever?
Boner Forever.
Oh, no, Boner Forever's still there.
All right, how about Chicken Man Assassination? Anybody remember that? I do not.
Gene? You know about the Chicken Man?
I have no idea.
So, yeah. All right.
So whatever it was a tragedy.
If anybody does and they want to call in and enlighten us, feel free to do that. Here's one. Now, we all know this. Veterans Stadium courtroom.
Yes. Oh, yeah. In fact, we... when that story broke, did you almost end up in that?
No,
case?
I ended up in the Lincoln Financial Field courtroom.
Okay.
I got let go. It was a mistrial.
Not even when we were doing the...
Dude, listen, man. I got to tell you, like, I was dead to rights. And these cops and security guards were so cool. Because after I got caught... And I was being escorted down. Like, I was cool. Like, yeah. I didn't put up a fight or anything like that. And, you know, essentially when we were walking down there, they said, what should we tell the judge you did? And I was like, just tell him that I was like, I don't know, like yelling at some fans or something like that. They're like, okay. Because that's not what I did. And
what
I will
did
never.
You do?
I can't tell you.
Okay.
I can't tell you. I broke the law.
Okay.
All I right. broke the law.
And that's what they said? They, you were just yelling at fans?
That's what they said. And, tell me and the cop is, I mean, the judge is looking in my eyes. And he goes, okay. You know, like he didn't, he knew it. He knew.
Like, all right,
he's looking in my eyes. He's like, yeah, I don't think so. But okay, this is what they said you did. And that was a 4th-and-26 game. And I watched that through the window of an RV in the parking lot. Sad, sad night.
And that was, but that was at the link.
That was at the link.
Did you go out at the Veterans Stadium courtroom?
Did you go out and then kill a chicken man?
I did not kill a chicken man, but there's a reason why I don't drink anymore. And
all right,
that's
hang
one
on.
Of the reasons.
I want to go to Ellen. She knows what the Chicken Man thing was. Hey, Ellen, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Chicken Man was the nickname of Philly mob boss Phil Testa.
Okay. Oh, yes.
And his assassination started off a mob war, like in the late, in I guess the 70s into the 80s, that like Angelo Bruno, I mean, it was nasty.
Ellen, is part of this depicted in the movie The Irishman?
I believe that might be, haven't seen The Irishman, but I do know that they talk about, I mean, the guy was from Delco.
Yes, yeah.
Pretty proud, Casey.
Yeah. Yeah, so Steve, you know where you've heard a reference to the Chicken Man before is in the Springsteen song Atlantic City.
Chicken Man.
The opening line is,
really?
Well, they blew up the Chicken Man in Philly last night. I had no idea that this connection, I'm just reading this now. But
I just thought there was a man who was part chicken.
No, they blew up the Chicken Man in Philly last night, now they blew up his house too. And so, that's a great song by Springsteen, I love it, and that's in reference to this story.
No, the guy that was part chicken used to perform on the boardwalk in Atlantic City.
That's right, yeah.
But they didn't blow him up. Okay, all right. Well, thank you for the heads up. Listen, guys, if you know some of these, feel free. Now, this one I know, and I wish I would. I created a T-shirt with his picture, and I wanted to make, and I never had it printed, and I think I have the template saved. But on this level, it says Vent Guy.
Yes. Vent Guy.
The guy who would stand over the,
sewer
grate.
That was fun.
In loose shorts.
And his shorts and shirt would blow up.
I love that guy.
Does he exist still, Marissa, that you know of? I mean, it's hard to tell from this past year, but
I feel like I've seen him more recently than not. Like, at least within the past year or so. It's been a bunch of years since we talked about him.
He stood to the side of, it was at the corner, and he was to the side of a restaurant where they were not happy that he was standing out there, right?
I remember going there and air himself out.
Yeah, we had people watching him live on the phone.
All right. Thank you for the people on hold about the Chicken Man. We already got our answer. Listen, if there are other things that come up, please let us know.
Back.
This is a meme that we're discussing. It was written about in the Philly Voice, and it explains how deep your knowledge of Philadelphia goes using an iceberg as a metaphor. And we're only at that. We're just below the surface. So Vent Guy's on there. ODB McDonald's, that's when old Dirty Bastard got arrested.
I remember there was like a news conference or whatever. He was being interviewed.
Yeah.
And he was like, don't you worry about ODB. I've been living on bird seed. I was like, what?
Yeah.
He was like, he was living on bird seed at the time.
They do the McRib for a few months, and then they do bird seed.
Yeah.
All right, let's go down another level. So now we're getting well below the surface. And I'll read the ones that I know you guys know. Philly Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah.
He gets arrested every now and then, doesn't he? Yeah. The Toynbee Tiles.
Now, we've
talked about many times for years.
You, Preston, are the first person I ever knew that ever noticed them.
Right.
And you brought them up on the air.
Yeah, because there used to be one on my drive to work. There was one on the Blue Route.
Yeah.
Right where it opens up to three lanes.
Like,
right
what the hell is this?
On the Blue Route southbound before you get to the Route 1 exit.
Yeah.
The City Ave exit. And And I'm like, what? And that thing intrigued me. And I eventually did some research about it and found out it was this thing called the Toynbee tiles. And that one's gone. That one's been gone for a long time. But there are several that still exist in the city. Other things on this list, and we're starting to get into territory of things that I don't know, like Black Hulk Hogan.
Do you guys know Black Hulk Hogan?
Nope. Nope.
Oh. I don't know that one.
Okay.
How about the Coltrane House?
John
Coltrane? Is it John Coltrane? I know that Charlie Parker.
No. It's Roscoe P. Coltrane,
I think.
Oh,
from the Duke
Ellington. I know that Charlie Parker, one of the all-time great and creators of bebop and jazz, had a house in, I want to say, Roxborough that he lived in for a while. And he's one of the all-time great legends. If this is referring to John Coltrane, then that would be pretty damn impressive, too.
So in 1946, after being discharged from the Navy, he returned to Philadelphia, where he plunged into the heady excitement of the new music and blossoming bebop scene. So he lived in Philly for a stretch.
Oh, that's cool. Here's one that we know. Dumpster pool parties.
Yes.
Yep. So we know that. What about Miracle on 13th Street?
Oh, is that the Christmas?
Anybody know that?
Yeah, that's the Christmas lights.
Yep. No, we're getting a thumbs up and a head nod from Nick Murphy.
Okay.
What is that quickly?
It's the entire street is just...
Oh, is this a recent phenomenon?
I think it's been going on for a long time. Okay. But it was on my holiday activities list years ago. We did it. We went through on a bus. I mean, you move at like 2-3 miles an hour. That's how packed it gets during the holidays. You can walk down it as well. But I mean, it's the whole street.
And where?
Nick, what is it? Do you know 13th and where? Miracle on
13th Street.
It's right in South Philly. Literally everybody who lives on the block decorates their house.
But it's beyond that. It's like not just like you would throw up Christmas decorations. The whole house is
I'm just wondering where, because 13th is a big
long street.
It's long. So
1600 South 13th Street.
1600 block of, okay.
Preston, I'm looking at this, and maybe you can clarify this. Penn statue jerking it. Is that Joe Paterno?
Penn State. Is that in the section that we're in?
Yeah.
I think that is...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you look at William Penn...
Oh,
that's
a certain angle.
That's it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It looks like he's... And in fact, used to be in the city paper or something like that was their logo.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it looks like he's got his Johnson hanging out. Original Thinker Sculpture. That's at the Rodin Museum.
By the way, the Miracle on 13th is between Tasker and Morris.
Okay, thank you, Marissa. Graffiti Pier.
Yes.
Familiar with that?
I've never been. My cousin all the time.
Yeah.
Didn't we go do like
that's on FDR Park.
Oh, we did FDR Park. That's right.
Where the skate ramps are and stuff.
All right, let's get we have calls on Black Hulk Hogan. I'm going to go to Bill. Hey, Bill, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ed.
Hey, good morning, Ed. What's up, man?
All right, so yeah, Black Hulk Hogan, he's a big wrestling fan, and if you go to any like WWE show, even some of the local whatever ones, so he's a like a middle-aged black guy. He dresses just like Hulk Hogan.
That's great.
The spandex, has the boas. He's also deaf, but you will see him at every show, and he's not like you can take.
We're looking at him now. It's hilarious. It looks great.
All right, Bill. Thanks for the heads up. I appreciate it.
Black Hulk Hogan.
No problem.
All right, not to put it on us for a moment, but we've been on the air here for 23 years. Shouldn't Gadzooks be on here somewhere, maybe?
Oh. Gadzooks?
Like only Philadelphians would look at that word and get that, maybe?
You know what? I think there's
Pierre.
Spanksgiving Day Parade.
Great Day in the Morning.
Great Day in the Morning.
How about just WMMR? Yeah. I mean, the entity that this has been in this city for 53
years. I know what
years.
They're going for here, so I can see where we might be edged out.
All right, we need to go down one more level because there are some things on here that I don't recognize, but I want to move down because it's already 7:43 and we only have so much time. So now we're down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 levels on this iceberg going under the water. If you're just tuning in, these are things that you as a Philadelphian might or might know, but these are more in the lore of the city.
Right.
Things that are obvious and above the waterline or deep down below. So let me read a few. Okay, here's one I recognize. Ira Einhorn.
Yeah, of course. Infamous, murdered his wife.
Yep, correct.
And put her in a cooler, right? They found the cooler floating.
The Swiss cheese pervert.
Yes! Yes!
we helped with that one.
Yes, we did.
If we're not directly on here, Preston, our fingerprints are all over.
If he's on here, why are we not?
I know. Sigma Sound Studios.
Legendary.
Yeah. That should be further up, I would think.
Yep. There's some
Casey,
on
which
there.
One? Go ahead.
All right. So you have on there Kermit Gosnell. He's the abortion doctor.
Yeah.
They found all those
fetuses.
He's in jail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, Eddie Savitz, better known as Uncle Eddie.
Right. Gary Heidnik case.
Yep. He was another one.
Eddie Savitz was the one who would pay kids for their used underwear, right?
I actually have friends who sold them his their underwear. They were like, yeah, $50.
Gary Heidnik drove around in the bunny van and had women and people he murdered in his basement.
All right. What's the Robeson House?
Paul Robeson?
R-O-B-E-S-O-N. I don't know.
I don't know.
How about the Rosenbach Museum? Anybody know that one?
Anyone?
Okay.
There's the Cave of Kelpius, which we've mentioned a number of times. I've been in it many times. I used to hike right by it. So if you go down
we talked about
the 100 steps and you go in the, God, I'm having a brain fart.
Wissahickon
Trail. If you go off, there is a paved trail and there is a dirt path trail. If you go on the dirt path trail, you will go right by the opening of the Kelpius Cave. There was a
cult, right?
It was actually sort of
a cult or something.
They were very trippy. They were big into astrology and they were very benevolent.
Okay,
but
maybe not a cult.
Yeah, but I mean, it was, Preston, we're talking like 1670, 1680.
Okay.
All the way back, yeah.
So it's not in Philadelphia, but there's something similar in these, their woods behind and walking trails behind Swarthmore College. And it's all the way tucked back in the corner of this campus. But there's like, it's essentially like an altar. You know, like it's almost like the ancient Mayans live there. Yeah.
The Kelpius Cave is perfect for satanic rituals. It's crazy.
What was that one time? Remember we talked about there was a leader who had kind of a religion of his own in this area. Might have been like Lower Marion or something like that, where I think there's a home around here and he died. And was he buried at the house or something like that? And, oh, man, we talked about it on the air years ago. And
Jervis?
It was very weird. No, he had a group of followers.
It does sound familiar.
Yeah, but Jervisians.
The Jervisians?
Yeah.
There's two guys.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody remembers
Jervis
that or not.
And his follower.
No, it was very exclusive. And that's a tough one. All right, let's move on to the next level below. Let me read a couple more from this, and then we have one more level to go, and then that's it. No, two more levels to go. The school asbestos crisis.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember that.
Big time.
Cleaning all that.
Sort of still going on.
Still right. doing it, yeah.
What's the Logan Triangle? I know that name. I know Logan Square and Logan Fountain and all that stuff, but I've heard of Logan Triangle before.
I don't know that. If I may jump quickly, Preston, I just want to get clarification. I don't know. They have it listed as Sears Complex.
Yeah.
Does that hold any special meaning to anybody here other than a Sears shopping center of merit?
No.
Okay. And then below it is Byberry, which everyone used to know as the asylum, right?
Oh, is that what that is?
Byberry, right?
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Was the Logan Triangle a development that was sinking? Does anybody know if that's correct?
Marissa is saying thumbs up on that. Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And Byberry, Byberry, I don't really know. And by the way, we're just touching a little bit. There are hundreds of things on here. It looks like hundreds anyway.
I like that ENIAC is mentioned.
Who?
ENIAC. So underneath 1793 Yellow Fever Pandemic, the first computer really ever was invented here in Philadelphia. And it was two giant.
At Penn?
At UPenn.
Yeah.
Yep. And it was two giant floors of like, you know, back when computers were literally like tubes and whatever the hell else. But it was massive. And I think it ended up in the Smithsonian.
All right. And what's Bus to Nowhere? That sounds vaguely.
Bus to Nowhere.
Or Carrot Cake Man. That sounds interesting. I want to know about Carrot Cake Man.
Byberry was the Philadelphia State Hospital of Byberry.
Okay.
All right. Anybody who knows about these things, feel free to call 215-263-WMMR. All right, let's go to the sixth level. Remember, there's seven levels of this altogether. And we're getting deeper and deeper into you need to be a local to know this stuff.
Lemon Meringue Pie Man, Preston, is in this level.
No, he's not. Let's see. Now, I might not recognize anything. No, I do,
you do
recognize one. The first Legionnaires outbreak.
Yay.
That happened here.
Lowe's Hotel?
Recognize something
else. It was the Legionnaires Hotel.
Yes.
Oh, it was?
That's why it's called that, yeah.
Preston. Oh, I thought it was It was a group of
Legionnaires convention. Yeah, at the not the late Legionnaires Hotel. It was the one on North Broad.
Isn't it the Lowe's?
It's not, it's not the Lowe's. No, no, no. It's North Broad, in between City Hall and Temple. I'll look it up.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So the bus to nowhere actually is pretty cool. I have never heard of this, but it's a SEPTA bus that all SEPTA buses have pickup and drop off locations. This SEPTA bus has no pickup and no drop off location. According to the local urban legend, it displays nothing. It has no route number.
We talked about it. We did talk about it.
The route is unknown. It's not on transportation maps.
Okay. I remember. I remember. Maybe like 2 years ago, we talked about this. Yeah, and it was just one of. Is it an urban legend?
No. Okay. Maybe because it says that some Philadelphians say they've seen the bus winding its way through the city streets.
All right. Here's some other things. West Philly Street dildos.
That sounds like fun.
I don't know.
That's the worst gang in the city.
That's a band. West Philly Street dildos.
How about one you also know, Preston, in that level? You know H.H. Holmes hanging.
H.H. Holmes. We've talked about it. Well,
yeah, the serial killer. That's right.
And they wanted to
disinter him, right?
Yeah, they didn't know. There was a rumor about whether he was actually killed and whether he was in his tomb.
Right.
Okay. And then next to that is John Newman's body. And it has been on display for as long as I can remember. We did a
field trip there, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know if his body is like encased in wax or whatever. It's at a church.
Yeah, downtown.
In the city of Philadelphia.
Catholic church.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sometimes they put bodies on display.
Why not?
I've seen them before. Yeah, what the hell?
If you run out of floral arrangements.
Right.
By the way, Legionnaire's disease was at the Bellevue Stratford Hotel on North Broad.
Okay. Let me see. Let me go to Maureen because she can tell us about the Carrot Cake Man. Hi, Maureen. You're on the City Beat. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Wonderful. So you know about Carrot Cake Man?
I do. So in the late 80s, I went to Philadelphia College of Pharmacy and Science in West Philly. Mm-hmm. And my roommates and I lived on 46th and Cedar Ave. And on the corner... the next corner, which would have been 47th and Cedar, was a little store called the Carrot Cake Man. And this guy was incredible. And every day he would make these fresh carrot cakes with amazing cream cheese icing.
Wow.
And he had all kinds of flavors, blueberry carrot cake and lemon carrot cake and just anything you could think of. And when he would bake them, the whole block would smell like carrot cake. It was
That sounds cool.
And that's the Carrot Cake Man.
I wonder if that's what... So his name was Vernon Wilkins. Does that sound familiar?
I don't know his name. We all knew him as the Carrot Cake Man, and he was this really tall, thin guy, really friendly, really nice guy.
Yeah, this looks like it's him. There's a picture, but it says that he originally started traveling on city buses, subways, and on foot selling dollar slices of homemade carrot cake.
I do remember hearing that.
Preston,
and I do remember, too, that when you went in, I think you could get different sizes. There was a large, and it was more like a loaf carrot cake, large, small. And then I think you could also get the cupcakes. And I think I remember.
Well, he had a whole assortment. But I think the fact that he was, I think he's probably known because he, as you said, the whole area smelled like his carrot cakes.
Yes.
That's pretty amazing.
Thank you, Maureen. Right. Appreciate the heads up.
All right, now you guys got me thinking about carrot cake.
Yeah, me too.
How about the West Philly Street dildos? You know anything about those?
Can't help you there.
Preston, right, is that Philadelphia's version of the Warriors?
It might be. Marissa?
So I found out that in West Philly, there just happens to be a lot of dildos all over the streets.
What?
Oh.
It's that simple.
All right.
And there's also like a phenomenon where they have a lot of possums. So they're trying to paint a mural of a possum holding a dildo.
Oh, no.
They actually pitched it. They pitched it to Mural Arts. By the way, I have to mention on there, I'm not sure how it's listed, but you guys all have to watch Concrete
Cowboy
on Netflix. Oh my God, it's so good. And it talks about the horse farms in Brewerytown.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and watch that this weekend for sure.
And then Pepper Pot Soup is on there, and I had never ever heard of Pepper Pot Soup. And then my wife, that was like her favorite Campbell soup flavor growing up.
It's a Campbell soup flavor?
Yeah.
And is it... was it created in this area or something?
I don't know if it's maybe just even only known in this area. But
by the way, we got about 7 minutes left, and we're going to get to the Preston and Steve.
Are we going to come back?
We're going to keep going to it. So I just want to tell you, we're running out of time here, though. Let me see. Hang on. Let's go to Debbie wants to confirm the body that we were talking about, St. John's body.
St. John Newman.
Yeah.
Hi, good morning, Debbie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. All right, Debbie, what do you want to tell us?
All right, yeah, St. John Newman body is at St. Peter's Church at 4th and Spring Garden.
Okay, St. Peter's, 4th and Spring Garden.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
And he's in the lower church.
Okay, you ever check him out?
Oh, many times.
And is he, like Casey says, he's like covered in wax or something?
His body is all covered.
Carrot cake.
Oh, it's all covered. A mask.
No, I mean the mask. There's like a mask on his face.
Okay. Yeah. He's not presented like as a mummy. You know what I mean?
Lenin's tomb or something like that.
Lenin, yeah.
Right. But like,
thanks, Debbie.
It's his body.
Yeah, I saw we were in Austria and we did the Sound of Music tour. We went into a church and there was a body. It was a decomposing body in a glass box. And I'm like, that's pretty weird.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was the Byberry thing? I was looking something else up because that was sort of.
So it was haunted, supposedly. And if you remember, there were a whole bunch of underground. Do we have somebody?
Jen. Yeah. Jen, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, Jen. You wanted to comment on the Byberry?
Yes. So Byberry Hospital is in the far northeast Philly, right before you hit Bensalem. And it was a mental hospital that they did a lot of horrible things to their patients there. And when they shut down, they just shut down without warning. And all the patients were just released to wander the street.
Yeah. And it was like left for years, the building just sitting there.
It was left abandoned for years.
Yeah.
And it has an entire underground tunnel system that runs under the streets there.
It's like Pennhurst. Yeah.
Yeah, we used to in the 90s, we used to go underground to get into the place, and we used to drink and party under there. but it was like there was like devil worshippers that used to be in there and stuff, and there used to actually be a sign-in book under the ground in the tunnels, and you would sign in when you were going there to party, and if you heard people there, like noises of people, but there was nobody signed in, you kind of knew to stay away because it was somebody that wasn't doing anything, you know, good in there.
Yeah, we used to go too. This is what it was known for. Was the mental hospital? She's right, and that it just closed down, and all of these people left and like walked the streets. But our parents took us there to like see it. It was. Something.
We were going to do a haunted investigation, Preston, you remember, but we couldn't get clearance to get in there.
I don't remember setting that up there.
They just started demolishing the actual hospital.
All right, we got 4 minutes left. We're going to go to the very bottom of this list, and I recognize a few things. I recognize some names here, but you guys are going to have to help me on this. Jim Stix, STIX.
Oh, wait.
I know that name. Arlene Ackerman. I know that name, too.
Yeah, why do I know that name?
And then how about this? The Kathy Change self-immolation. That I don't know, but I'm interested because somebody set themselves on fire.
Oh, that's what Arlene Ackerman is an American educator who...
I think she was the superintendent for the Philly schools.
Okay.
Or something about her.
Yeah, she... Right.
End up on this list.
She married the carrot man.
Why? Okay, so the first one on that list, I'm intrigued
Jim
by
Stix?
That. No. Harriet
Cole's nervous system. Don't know that one.
What?
Oh. I thought maybe it was something at the Mutter Museum.
Yeah. It's on your...
Marissa, I'm sorry, Marissa. There's so much we're going through here. It's on here, my little info sheet. Here we go. Harriet Cole? Yeah. It says, a black woman who served on the custodial staff at Hahnemann University Hospital in the 1880s when she died at 35 years old, autonomous, Dr. Rufus B. Weaver, claimed to have meticulously extracted and reconstructed her entire nervous system, photos of which now widely shared are in medical texts. Little is known about Cole, who is said to have donated her body to science. Ooh. That's pretty wild. And I've seen where they've done that, and it's you can't believe how many nerves are in the body and that they are able to do that together. Here's one also on the bottom of this list. Dickinson's taxidermied pet raven at the Free Library.
Is that the author Dickens,
yeah.
Charles Dickens?
Yeah, I would think so.
Pet Raven? Wow.
It's got to be.
And what about the Asimov house? Is that Isaac Asimov, the author?
That I don't know. It's in boldface, so it might be.
Do you have it on your list?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
Yes,
it's
Steve,
a long
you're right.
List.
The one-time home of author Isaac Asimov. And the Philly Weekly has started a petition to get it a historical marker placed there. It's in West Philly.
All right, let me go to John here. Hey, John, good morning.
Morning.
What's up, John?
Hey, I just wanted to comment on Arlene Ackerman. Yeah. She was the superintendent of the school district for a couple of years, and she was known because she, when she resigned, she got like $1 million back in vacation pay. And then the school reform commission sued her to get it back. But then after she gave it back, she then filed for unemployment compensation after it. So
was this in the 90s, 2000s?
It was early 2000s, mid 2000s.
All right. Yeah. I remember that name. I just didn't remember the controversy.
And then she died.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Oh, she did?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, John. Appreciate it, man.
Later, guys.
Right, when did the Dubrow's furniture store shooting, why does that sound familiar? Is that a recent or how long ago was that?
Dubrow or Dubrow furniture store shooting. To bluff.
That was a long time ago. It was in the 70s, it looks like.
Yeah, okay. January 4th, 1971, the Dubrow furniture store robbery. Okay.
All right. Well, listen, this is a really cool peek into our city and its history and lesser known stories, you know, evidence of the fact that some of this stuff are like, wait, that sounds vaguely familiar.
Yes,
what is that again? It's really worth checking out. Marissa has posted this meme, which, by the way, was done by a writer named Cameron Jones. And it came to light to us through the Philly Voice. Michael Tenenbaum wrote an article, but we posted that on our social accounts. With the question, what Preston and Steve thing would you add to this list that might be super duper well known or maybe lesser known? So feel free to contribute if you would, because we had mentioned, you know, Gadzooks or maybe even All Things WMMR, whatever you want to put on there. We'd like to hear from. By the way, a number of people checking in with Pepper Pot Soup. It was from Founding Fathers, or the Founding Fathers created Pepper Pot Soup.
All right.
Marissa says Vag.
The
Vag.
Marissa says Vag.
And Marissa says Vag.
That should be a meme, just Marissa with two thumbs up. Vag.
She's holding up a sign that just says Vag on it, so that could be a meme. But anyhow, that's all that I have time for with the City Beat this morning. Yeah. So we appreciate you listening in.
Scoopity wow wow.
Yeah.
That's been the City Beat.
All
with
open.
Your city reporter, Preston Elliott.
We'll do it again.
Give me some skin.
In the meantime, we need to do this.
93.3 WMMR. It's time for a Preston and Steve Money Clip.
Oh, God, I love you.
All right.
Now, here's your Money Clip keyword.
Let's do this thing and give away $500. Our Money Clip keyword hour is spring, which we certainly felt like the past couple of days. Spring, S-P-R-I-N-G. You have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter it. There are three ways to do it. You can text it to the special contest short code number, which is 45911. Or to also be entered in the $10,000 grand prize, do it through the MMR app or at WMMR.com. One random entry wins $500 from our company-wide contest. That person will get a call from Beasley, so make sure that you answer your phone. Contest rules are available at WMMR.com. It is sponsored by Hyundai City. I'll give you that word again. It's spring. S-P-R-I-N-G. I assume we're going to come right back, Casey, right? All right, well, we'll see. We're going to take a break. We'll return. The Bizarre File is on the way. Stay with us.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Natural Lawn America. Safer for your lawn, kids, and pets. Schedule their full service program and get free seeding every year. Call 800-FREE-SEED. Natural Lawn America. Greener grass for your weeds. Guaranteed. Let's do the B-File. A couple of new songs, a couple of old songs. Yeah. Do this one. Yep. A home inspector caught pleasuring himself with an Elmo doll.
All right.
Has been charged with two misdemeanor counts in court.
Well, hear him out, Kathy.
Kevin Wayne Van...
My Little Pony. Elmo doll, yeah!
Kevin Wayne Van Leuven, 59 years old, was arraigned on charges of aggravated indecent exposure and malicious destruction of property.
Have you no decency, sir?
The charges stem from an incident when homeowners asked to have their property inspected at the request of the buyers. A nursery camera detected movement, so the 22-year-old homeowner checked her phone and caught Van Leuven in the act.
Oh, yeah.
After he finished pleasuring himself, he returned the doll to its original place.
Oh.
When officers questioned him about the incident, Van Leuven said that he moved the doll to check an electrical outlet, but made incriminating statements and apologized after he was told of the nursery camera. Van Leuven is not allowed to be alone in a home that is not his, may not contact the homeowners, and is required to undergo a mental health evaluation.
How effing disgusting.
Uh-huh. Police in Cincinnati say that they are probing multiple reports of five loose monkeys on the west side of the city.
You mean trampy monkeys?
I think they're hooking.
Okay.
I think, yeah. So, no, residents have reported...
Looking for a date?
Seeing five monkeys swinging from the trees of St. Joseph's Cemetery in the East Prince Hill area on Wednesday night, and one witness captured video that appears to show the animals in the trees. But police say the footage is not clear enough to confirm that the animals were monkeys. Police say that if there are actual monkeys on the loose, they likely escaped from a private collection, but no one has reported.
Hey, there's some monkeys.
Any exotic primates missing? Police say anyone who spots monkeys in Cincinnati should keep a safe distance and contact the police department.
You don't F with a Cincinnati monkey.
Hey, if you're having a bad trip, there will soon be someone to call. Joshua White has created the Fireside Project, which is launching a psychedelic peer-supported hotline.
Ah, so if you're in the middle of a bad situation, you can call and they'll talk you down?
If you're having a bad trip. White says that the concept of the line is to provide support to individuals who are having an intense psychedelic experience or perhaps wish to process a previous instance of the same.
Okay, it's not really a seahorse party.
Seahorses forever.
The line is set to go live on April 14th. It's intended to be a resource for those in in the midst of a psychedelic experience, someone in the company of an individual experiences psychedelic experience, or anyone eager to process a past psychedelic experience, no matter when it happened. So for legal reasons, those curious about consuming psychedelics are not eligible to utilize Fireside.
You say you think you might have banged an Elmo doll.
Police in Arizona responded Wednesday after they got a call about two traffic trailer rigs that collided on the I-10 freeway. A man wearing one sock, boxers, and T-shirt jumped from the moving semi, ran down the shoulder, and was taking all his clothes off, and then walked out into traffic.
What was the number that you just had in the last story, Preston?
Yeah, the...
to call if you're tripping?
The responding trooper was able to catch up with the man and took him into custody. The suspect told the trooper that he had hitched a ride on the semi without the driver's knowledge.
Oh, boy.
He also said that he pounded on the driver's side back window to tell them that he wanted off the truck and may have tried to get the passenger into the compartment when he jumped off. No other details are available. All right, this is pretty wild and a cautionary tale. Investigators say a woman who was found stabbed to death was killed by a man whom she met on Facebook Marketplace to buy a refrigerator for her boyfriend. Authorities say 26-year-old Joshua Gorgone was arrested and has been charged with criminal homicide in the slaying of 54-year-old Denise Williams. Investigators say Williams was found Tuesday after her family reported her missing Monday evening. They were able to find Williams by tracking her phone. Investigators believe that Williams went to Gorgone's apartment to look at a refrigerator she found on the Facebook Marketplace. Investigators say they do not believe that they knew each other, and they're now providing a warning to the public regarding meeting in person to make purchases. Gorgone was interviewed. He admitted stabbing Williams with a kitchen knife following an argument over the cost of the refrigerator.
They fought over the cost of the refrigerator and he killed her.
Yeah, well, he went crazy over it, so that's nuts. All right, and then we'll do one more story, and then we will wrap it up. As he was preparing to leave jail after posting bond, a Florida man decided that it was the perfect time to steal a $60 webcam off a desk in the county lockup.
Wow.
Yep.
Florida man.
Stephen Moran, or maybe he goes by Moron, was arrested last month for criminal mischief. While Moran was awaiting release in the booking area, he disconnected a Logitech webcam from a jail computer and then placed the device in his pocket. He subsequently departed the lockup upon posting a $1,000 bond. Investigators subsequently identified him as the alleged corporate and arrested him Thursday for depriving the county jail the right to use right and use of property. Moran, who was later freed after posting $500 in the misdemeanor theft count, is scheduled for an arraignment.
You got that, moron?
In May. And there you go. That's great. And that's what I have in the bizarre file for you. All right. We're going to take a break. Don't forget, we have the gentlemen who bring you Mystery Science Theater 3000. We had mentioned them yesterday. We had them on the show last year, but Joel Hodgson and Matt McGinnis were running a Kickstarter campaign to get some more shows out. And we're going to talk to them in a little while. We'll take a break. We'll come back and more chances to win money as well. And we still got a lot to do on this Friday morning. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Preston and Steve Small Business Love You, Help You line.
Hi, my name is Gina, and I would like to invite you to Cat Milk Cafe, located at 18 West Winona Avenue in Norwood. We are Cat Cafe in partnership with the Animal Coalition of Delaware County, a nonprofit entirely run by volunteers. We have up to 10 free-roaming cats and kittens that are available for adoption. So book your reservation now at catmilkcafe.com. We would love to see you to support a great cause.
Next message.
Hey, good morning. At Mighty Writers, our mission is to teach kids to think and write with clarity. But kids can't focus or think clearly when they're hungry. So we made tackling food insecurity a part of our mission too. Mighty Writers offers writing workshops, one-on-one mentorships, writing contests, book programs, and much more for the kids throughout the Delaware Valley and South Jersey at no cost to the families that we serve. We also offer the kids we serve free lunches and groceries for the families at no cost to them. Go to mightywriters.org or check us out on Facebook for more information on how to become a Mighty Partner.
The Love You, Help You line. Shop local because small business needs our help. Find out more at PrestonandSteve.com. 93.3 WMMR. Putting Philly first. Sponsored by DellAutoGroup.com, where Jack really does sell them for less.
We had breaking news earlier this morning that Prince Philip passed away.
Yes.
99 years old. He had been in the hospital not that long ago, and looked like he was turning around, but
at 99, though, yeah, anything does substantial damage, especially, you know, when you've been in the hospital. He was in for a couple of weeks, was he not?
He was. And I'm going to go back to him, because then I saw, and this is what it's like sometimes. All of a sudden, you see several names in a row of people passing away. This beloved actor named James Hampton died. Steve, obviously, you know his name. A lot of people may not recognize his name right away, but Casey, when I tell you who he played, you'll know. He was the dad in Teen Wolf.
Yeah. He was also Dobbs on F Troop, the bugler who could not play the bugle. And he was also in the original The Longest Yard, Case. He was the best friend of Burt Reynolds. He's the guy who gets killed in the cell.
By the way, is this the music that Teen Wolf danced to?
Yeah.
It's so 80s, it's ridiculous.
Is it safe to say that James Hampton was our American royalty?
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
Listen, here's the sad kind of poetry to this, or I don't know, a lack of a better word or irony, but he played Michael J. Fox's dad in Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
He died of Parkinson's disease.
Oh, man.
They both had Parkinson's. So his family requested, though, that donations be made to the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's research.
That's wonderful.
I haven't seen any statements from Michael yet. I'm sure they're coming soon, but the news just broke. So I was just bummed out to hear that.
And how old is he again, Preston?
He was 84. He had a nice long life, but, you know, it's still sad, especially if he had to suffer with Parkinson's, which, you know, can be around for a long time and can be debilitating, you know, get worse and worse. But he was just one of those super light and likable guys, you know, as far as all the characters he played, even if he was playing a bad character or something likable about the guy.
He had he was best friends with Burt Reynolds, and Burt Reynolds would often say that they were both unlucky in love. Like they had I think he had a couple of failed marriages, but everyone who worked with James Hampton like loved him, said he was just the greatest guy.
Yeah, it says here is a survived by his wife, actress Mary Deese. I don't know her.
Familiar. Deese Nuts.
Deese Nuts. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't see the nuts
forgot
part.
The hyphen.
Mary Deese Nuts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
And his three children, James, Andrea, and Frank. His family had said it came as no surprise that James continued to receive fan mail from all over the world almost weekly throughout his life. Which is a sweet.
I mean,
thing.
There are fans that Preston. I tell you about, you know, because of channels like the like Pluto and MeTV, and that stuff lives on forever. The F Troop, which was just a couple of seasons, still lives on. I mean, it's and
I've never watched a single
so,
second of it.
Dobbs was a horrible bugle player, and you know, so I was like, but they kept him because they liked him so much.
Right.
That was basically the deal.
Yeah, so. Sad news there, but I wanted to pass that along too. But yeah, but going back to Prince Philip, so that broke earlier this morning, and he was, you know, just taking a quick look at his life, a few things about him, and I mainly know from what I saw on the Crown, which is a fantastic show, and a lot of things about him that I never knew, and they do explore on that show. Was he was actually the first member of the royal family to do a televised interview. And apparently TV was like he loved it.
Well,
he really wanted to bring the family into the world of television at the time that it was starting to become bigger and bigger, you know.
And hence this new special that they're talking about, which is this found footage of the family in the, I believe it's the early 50s. There's color footage the way you've never seen them before. And it's an amazing thing because, I mean, we're talking decades and decades and decades.
Yeah.
Of existence and service. Mm-hmm. But again, I think, Preston, The Crown, you're right, in that first two seasons kind of really gives you an understanding of what he was becoming a part of.
Right. Well, and Steve, you said it earlier, and I couldn't agree with you more, that it humanizes them.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, like they are these pillars of the world's community, but they're also people.
Right.
And so you see that part of their lives. I loved the episode last season or the one before where he became obsessed with the moon landing and the astronauts.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
and he just dives into it. And he became fascinated with those three astronauts and then got a chance to meet them.
Right.
And he was less than impressed by them as individuals. And it really was an interesting juxtaposition of these people who were super important to him. But then when he got to actually spend some time with them, they were kind of boring, and so,
it's not a condescension. It's just here's a guy who's been a monarch, who's been at that level, and it wasn't that he thought less of them. It's just like he had built them up so much because of his adoration of the space program,
right?
And it does, Nick. It does have you know, when you, it's hard to look at people who have lived with what we believe to be a very entitled existence. And The Crown does the job of showing you that none of this comes without a tab to be paid.
You're right. It's interesting because in that particular episode, which I did love, he was questioning his own achievements. And
yes.
He hadn't done anything.
Right, right, yeah.
Compared to what these guys were doing.
Right.
And he was excited about that. But he had done quite a bit, actually, in his life. But I guess we all have our introspective, take on ourselves and what we could be.
When he got to meet James Hampton, that was a crucial point.
Well, he was a big
deal. Yeah. He was so nice.
Did you know that your son was a werewolf? Or did it present itself at puberty, per se?
Well, he was a werewolf, too, yeah, isn't that?
So maybe yes. You have to. So, as a father, you, of course, were encouraging,
right.
But yet you were frightened that you would have to live in a world as a werewolf. Please, let's talk about it.
He not only did the first TV interview for the family, he was said to have had a hand in televising the Queen's coronation in 1953 and in organizing a groundbreaking 1969 television documentary about the family. They covered that in the in the movie as
today
well.
Today I'm meeting Johnny Five.
A robot?
Wow, alive.
Most amazing piece of engineering.
Here's something that I never understood as a kid. And I still don't quite understand now, why wasn't he ever king? Like, I get that she's the lineage, right? But didn't he marry the queen and therefore...
Doesn't work that way.
Well, when I went to search real quick just to get a brief bio so we could talk about it, one of the first things I when I typed in Prince Philip was one of the first queries that came up under the search was, why was he never king?
Okay.
Yeah. So, but I didn't have time to read it. I pulled this information up, so I don't really know.
Is he from Scotland?
No, he's
from Greece.
He's from Jersey.
Greece, yeah. Yeah.
So
he's
maybe
from Greek.
He's from Greek.
All right, so he just said Duke of Edinburgh, so I thought maybe.
Well, those are titles that are given to them. So let me give you a little bit about his background. If you want to look that info up, Nick, maybe you can research that. But there's an interesting story about him being born in Greece. He was born on a Greek island of Corfu. He was the only son of Prince Andrew of Greece and Denmark and Princess Alice of Battenberg. Greece's king, Philip's uncle, was forced to abdicate when Philip was a baby, and the family decided they had fled to Paris. And there's a story about him. He was carried away to safety in a crib that was made out of an orange crate.
Oh, my
that
wild? Gosh.
And they cover that in the show The Crown as well. It's part of the story of his past. At seven,
it was my jaw.
I didn't know that was an English
word. Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, it's a Greek word.
Jaw.
Yeah.
At age seven, he moved to England, where he lived at Kensington Palace, which is now the home to Prince William. Philip lived there with his paternal grandmother, Victoria Mountbatten, and later attended Gordonston boarding school in Scotland. And also in the show, there was a big controversy over whether what name he would be given.
That's right.
And he was battling for Mountbatten really bad, which because it was a family name. Yeah. It is a cool name.
Yeah.
But they went, I forgot with what name they went with.
Lipschitz.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Philip Lipschitz. I'm sorry, I'm just thinking about King Lipschitz. At 18, he joined the Royal Navy.
Made a terrible choice, didn't we?
Graduated from the Britannia Royal Naval College as a top cadet. He saw active duty from the Indian Ocean to the Mediterranean.
And he was accomplished.
Yeah. In 1945, at the end of World War II, he was in Tokyo Bay when the Japanese surrendered. Philip's military career was apparently central to his character, unlike a lot of other royals. He took his service very seriously.
And that did port with his sons, so both with his grandsons, I should say. And his sons, but it's, you know, you hear about Prince William and Prince Harry. They both, you know... They tended to take their military service seriously and weren't given, from what we hear, they weren't given, you know, white glove treatment. They went and did stuff. They were active,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Then known as Philip Mountbatten, he first met his cousin, Elizabeth. Cousin?
Yes.
In 1934.
Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat ball.
At a family wedding, and the two are both. The two are both great-great-grandchildren of Queen Victoria. They exchanged letters while Philip was overseas during the war. So that's how they...
I slid into her DMs.
I guess that was them kind of courting while he was...
And all that's overseen letters. As they show in, you know, I mean, there's a protocol.
Yeah.
You can't just, you know, swipe left.
They only occasionally saw each other. They would go out driving in Philip's tiny MG sports car.
That's when it wasn't a deadly proposition driving with Philip.
Yeah, he had some accidents towards the end there, as well as dancing at London nightclubs. They married in Westminster Abbey on November 20th, 1947, with around 2,000 guests in attendance. And another 200 million listening to the ceremony on the radio.
200 million. If you go to the Tower of London, they have, you know, pictures and large murals of that wedding and her coronation. I mean, God.
Yeah, it was everything back then. Elizabeth's father, King George the VI, also gave him a new title, which is the Duke of Edinburgh. 2 years later, the couple moved to Malta, where Philip assumed command of a battleship, the last active command in his military career.
The HMS Brodozer.
Was that what it was?
Yeah.
What's up, Brodozer? And I remember in the show, and we keep referencing The Crown, but like I said, that's where I know a lot about his life from. He was that when he was touring around and cavorting with Native women.
They were implying that, yeah, like they didn't quite say that he did it, but he was on the island where some of his shipmates were, you know, so they were dancing around it on the crown anyway.
So far from Britain, the couple were able to live the life of a naval officer and wife. But any freedom from that Elizabeth and Philip had was cut short by the declining health of her father, King George VI. He died in 1952. Elizabeth was just 25, was in Kenya on a royal tour with Philip, and they were relaxing at a wildlife viewing lodge when they were informed of the king's death. And then she was
That was it. And I mean, how old was she at the time?
25.
25.
Yeah. Becomes the 25. Queen.
25.
Yeah. Wow. So yeah, it was. It's been a.
What age were you when you became Kenny Knight?
22.
Oh, wow,
something like that. So
imagine the weight of the world on your shoulders at 22.
All right. So Marissa found some information on why he isn't king.
Okay.
Or why he wasn't king, I should say. It says
Now he's dead. So
when Prince Philip married then Princess Elizabeth more than 70 years ago, he was forced to renounce his Greek and Danish royal titles in order to become the Duke of Edinburgh. However, a decade later, then Queen Elizabeth II officially was named him a British prince. But why isn't he King Philip? The wives of British monarchs tend to receive the ceremonial title of queen, or more specifically, queen consort.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the Elizabeth's mother, also Elizabeth, became queen consort when her husband, George VI, became king. Men married to the British monarch are known as prince consorts, not king consorts. So that's why he's always been Prince Philip.
Yeah.
Yeah. So king
instead
kinda,
of King Philip.
So king outranks queen.
Right.
And so, therefore, like, if he got that title, he would outrank the queen.
Yes.
And she's
however, a woman who marries into becoming a queen will be queen consort.
Right.
Because she doesn't outrank king, so to speak.
Well, then how did King Kong Bundy become?
I mean, look at him. Dude's huge.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
I mean, wait, so is his name, is it a title king, and then he's Kong Bundy?
I think he's King Kong Bundy.
Right, yeah. Okay, that's what I thought, too.
Yeah. Before, it was just Kong Bundy.
Right. Yeah.
And Bundy, then he
became
Kong?
King.
Became a monarch.
Yeah.
King. Kong Bundy.
Yeah.
Right. That makes sense, obviously.
There's a picture of him, yeah. Preston. Yeah.
Oh, stop it.
That was after the coronation.
Yes, after they were a little more informal in their dress.
Poor Al Bundy. He was never going to be king.
No, right, no, yeah. Absolutely.
It was never going to happen.
King Al Bundy.
I have there's
well, the, Ted Bundy.
No. He did bad things.
Yes, he did.
There's this sign that they on the Daily Mail has a picture of the sign that is actually posted on the front of Buckingham Palace, Preston. Right now, they put it up. Obviously, it says with deep sorrow. It is with deep sorrow that Her Majesty the Queen announces the death of her beloved husband, His Royal Highness, the Prince Philip of Duke of Edinburgh. His Royal Highness passed away peacefully this morning at Windsor Castle. Further announcements will be made in due course. The royal family joined with people around the world in mourning his loss. So it's
Steven, look right next to it. It says boner forever.
Boner forever. yeah.
God.
It does.
Mm-hmm. That started in
And then below it, it's a female Joe Pesci.
Right.
No, it's a very simple sign, too, you know?
Okay. So they will obviously, you know, they have these things well planned out.
Well, he's especially with his health scares. But, I mean, I was reading about how they begin preparation for memorializing people long time before this.
Well, in if you ever saw the movie The Queen, with Helen Mirren, when Diana dies, Elizabeth's mother, and I've forgotten her name,
wasn't she also Elizabeth?
I think you're right. So the Queen Mother, when they announced the funeral plans,
Elizabeth
for
Kong Bundy.
When they announced the funeral plans for Diana, in the movie, she goes, "Wait a minute, that was what they were going to do for me."
Right, right.
So they have all this stuff. Sure. Everybody knows exactly how their ceremony is going to go.
Right.
And what the official, duties of everyone is and all that stuff. And obviously, they've been preparing for him, I would imagine.
I'm looking at a picture of them just married, Preston, a black and white photo, you know, and you... You know, what do you like? I'll talk about, you know, man, that was good hummus, you know, back in the house. You know, the things that my wife and I engage in conversation, there's stuff they've got to talk about. Mm-hmm. How much time did they get to just be people, you know?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, because there's so many official things that they have to go over that have to be done a very specific way. And leading up to that, I don't know how that was.
Do they do half staff? I mean, I don't know if that's an American tradition.
Yeah,
or...
you remember, Casey, well, going back to the movie The Crown, they didn't lower the flags at Buckingham Palace. Oh. And that was a huge controversy. Okay. Huge, huge controversy. There are specific things. Certain flags fly when members of the family are there. And they represent very well-known statements about what's going on with the family.
Yes.
And so when they didn't do that, and I don't know if it was the Union Jack they didn't fly at half staff, or it was maybe a house flag or something like that. There was something they didn't do, and it caused a really big controversy. And the public was pushing them very hard. You've got to show this sign of respect.
Yes.
And they didn't, and it really pissed off the public badly.
Okay. But there's two versions. There's the Union Jack, and then there's the Union Jack.
Like King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kong Bundy.
Well, I don't want to piss off the public either, and we haven't done this in a while for, you know, somebody who's passed. But, I mean, it has been a while since
what did we used to do? Passed. I don't even remember.
Robert De Niro.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
I forgot about this.
Dead. Like, dude. 4 minutes after the person passes.
Dead. 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 Dead.
Okay. And then we usually give him a shard out right after that, right?
No.
Dead.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Okay, all right.
Okay, okay. All right.
Right. Enough.
You know, so I'm looking at, of course, the Daily Mail is sort of the one of the records of paper, the paper of record, I should say, or online site of record. And, you know, the articles are popping up fast and furiously about, you know, look, think of the Queen now. You know, think of that extraction from her life.
Yeah, single and ready to mingle.
Right, yeah. But she is. I mean, she could. Mm. I mean, you know.
You know what I didn't know until seeing The Crown was about, I believe it was his brother that was killed in an explosion in a boat. Yeah. The IRA, the Irish Republican Army, had done that.
Was that his brother? I remember that guy from Game of Thrones, that actor.
Correct.
And then there was also that plane explosion with members of his family early on in his life. They got on a plane and he did not.
Was it his sister?
I believe it was his sister, yeah.
Yeah.
And so all of that tragedy that happened early on, and then, you know, there were like these connections to the Nazi party that they had to erase, and it's a really complicated but fascinating history.
Well,
the man's life.
This is a great quote, and I don't know where this is coming from, but it says his job first, second, and last was never to let her down, meaning Queen Elizabeth.
Okay. All right, so there'll be plenty of information coming up soon about what they have planned and retrospectives on his life, I'm sure, as well. We do need to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. We have some guests that are going to be joining us, Joel Hodgson and Matt McGinnis, who we've talked to before. They're the guys who bring you Mystery Science Theater 3000. There was this Kickstarter campaign that started yesterday, and we thought, let's lend them a hand. Well, we'll get you the rest of the story when we come back. Yo.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I want to do this.
You want me to give something away?
Yeah. We have a big friggin' deal this week.
Let me give away three of these. I have a chance for you to win a from King Shooters in King of Prussia. Steve goes and shoots there.
They're great.
You get a classroom instruction for the fundamentals of handgun safety, safe handling and firearms familiarization, and an hour of range time as well. It's our big friggin' deal, which is on sale now for just $75 at WMMR.com. Use the keyword deal. We will take callers 10, 11, and 12. And we will set you up with this. And keep in mind, you'll be, you know, shooting firearms, and they'll be teaching you how to use them.
The most comprehensive safety course I've ever gotten, and they're just phenomenal. And their new indoor range is terrific.
So call now, and we will set you up. We'll be back in a moment with our guests and more. So stay with us.
Hear new music from Wolfgang Van Halen and Dirty Honey, plus Corey Taylor's op-ed on his upcoming tour, and see where Dark Side of the Moon lands on a list of impressive historical streaks.
click contests for your shot at $500. Part of T-Mobile 5G Fridays. Coverage and speed. Who says you can't have it all? T-Mobile. Are you with us? WMMR.com.
Yesterday, had come across a story about Mystery Science Theater 3000, the fact that the guys, the creators, and we're going to have them on in a second, were trying to get a Kickstarter campaign started to raise some money to do some more episodes, as opposed to waiting for a network that's going to pay for it. They figured, let's go to the fans who really want this, and if they really want it, we'll make it happen.
And you know they really want it, but we figured maybe we could help out.
We'll give them a little boost, a little nudge, if you will. And so they wanted to raise $2 million. Like I said, this started yesterday. As of today, they've made $2.25 million.
So the fan base is robust, yes, to say the least.
So they don't need to talk to us, but nonetheless, we're happy to have them on. We had a great conversation with them last time. And in fact, where's the reference? Do we have the reference of the Preston and Steve show from Mystery Science Theater 3000? This was it.
Fries are up.
Quick, into your suit.
Oh, damn. I thought we were taking those suits off.
Isn't that the new Preston and Steve catchphrase? Danger, explosive door bolts.
And there we were, mentioned in that.
How cool is that?
I love it. So we have writer and producer Matt McGinnis and creator Joel Hodgson
online
this morning.
Wow.
Hey, guys.
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
Thank you.
So you need some help raising some money.
It's a great way to wake up, you know, Preston and Steve.
Aww. And all the adoration, too, which is formidable. Yeah, absolutely. Preston was bringing up the point. Were you guys blown away by how quickly the money mark was hit and you have now exceeded it?
Yeah, it's faster than our last one 6 years ago. 6 years ago, it took us a week to get the $2 million, and this time it took a day. However, we're not done. We really have a lot more to go. We have a bunch of goals. This is the first hurdle, and we have one at 3.3 million and one at 4.4, and it goes on like that. So the last one we did raised $6 million, and I don't want to speculate if we'll make that, but we're in pursuit of that. We would like to, if possible.
Listen, Joel, we live in a time where now with Elon Musk, would actually be possible
for a billionaire fan out there. Yeah, right.
And not only that, with a space program to get that show actually done on location.
Wow. You know,
we're getting there.
Just a show. It's just a show, man. You should really just relax. You don't really have to go to space.
You did it.
The robots are puppets.
Oh, really? Oh, well. Well,
I was going to be the one to tell you.
You cannot believe how I felt when I first learned that. It was crushing.
All right, well,
absolutely crushing.
Well, even though that's, you know, that mystery is gone for all of us now, the mystery that does arise, and a question we had yesterday, and Matt, I'll pose because I want to get both of you guys in on this, but why does a show that seems to have a pretty low budget cost that much to make? I mean, you know, you guys, you have a set and everything, but it's not like the effects are outrageous or anything along those lines. Why is it so expensive to put together something like that?
Well, we break it down really elegantly on the website, on our Kickstarter page. And if you go there, it really does. There's just a bunch of expenses that people don't think about normally. It's just like if we were to point those guns at the Preston Steve show and go, how hard is it?
Yeah.
You guys and a microphone, right? But there's a ton of stuff. There's a bunch of support. There's
true
ad sales, all the things that make it so people get paid to do their jobs.
Right.
You know, we're not volunteers. And I think it all is explained really well, but just.
Yeah, I'm looking at the breakdown, and it is. And there's a lot that goes into it. And, I mean, stuff that is not considered. But, I mean, you also just don't want to do, like, one or two episodes. You'd like to do as many as you can, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you want to do it. We want to do a full season. And the other thing we're doing is kind of bringing forward this idea of the Gizmoplex, which is our premier theater online, which people can watch shows live when we premiere them, and then they can also have shows there that they can go, like their own personal locker where they can go watch shows with their friends. And so they can actually watch shows and talk amongst their friends and actually riff on what we're riffing on.
I love that.
those are kind of the pieces of it. But we got, I got to go back to why we dropped Preston and Steven to Mystery Science Theater, and it's because we're local, man. We live in the area. Yeah. We had to do a shout out.
Yeah, no, we love it. And we've had so many people that we've had. Celebrities and entertainers that we've had friendships with, and we of course try to extort them into getting us mentions, and it virtually never happens. We've had Fallon do it. We had Jimmy Kimmel. Todd Glass got us on Jimmy Kimmel. We've had a few.
Fallon did as well, man.
Yeah. So I mean, but still, you know, the amount of people have come through these studios for you guys to just do it, and I think do without our usual extortion really means a lot to us.
Yeah. Had to do
all the day's work.
Yeah, and we're from in Philly. We both have the goat dip song, for God's sake. Rita's water ice flow.
No, it's Rita's water ice. It's water if it's low. Fish from Philly.
You got on the float
in the parking lot.
You guys should go to our the President Steve site. There is a meme that we were talking about earlier today, and it's an iceberg representation. Basically, you've seen them before, where you break down the levels of knowledge about all things Philadelphia and Philadelphia really cool. lore. It's okay. really cool.
Oh yeah,
yeah. You can check your level of Philly hipness.
Yeah.
So, hey,
it's almost as overwhelming as our Kickstarter pages.
with the money coming in and it's looking like you guys will, you know, hit some of the goals you want to hit for sure. Have writing plans already been set in place for episodes? Is there a potential, you know, people like Patton Oswalt returning who's been there before?
Yeah, we got our cast coming back from the Netflix series, which is Patton Oswalt and Felicia Day and Jonah Ray. So all those people are coming back, and a few new people as well. So and as far as the writing goes, yeah, we've figured out our first three movies, though we haven't announced them yet, and that's important because we have to clear the rights and get going on post-production to kind of get them in our system. And then we're just starting to talk. We start talking to the writers next week. So start commissioning people because we got our first three paid for. So we can start that process. And we're supposed to begin writing the day after the Kickstarter, which is in 30 days, which is a lot. And Matt and I and Cheryl Volpe, who's one of our producers, had been working on this for almost a year, so we're ready. I mean, you know, it was COVID, so what else are we going to do?
Yeah.
This is what we've been working on and prepping for. And that's,
And that's another thing, too, kind of just piggybacking on what Joel said. Like, as far as expenses go, like, we do have to pay to have the movies on the show. We can't just find a movie and be like, oh, this is great, we'll use it.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of the, you know, a good portion of the Kickstarter money will help us to get more of those really ridiculous movies that people love to watch.
Right.
Do you guys ever get denied use of a film that you want to put in?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes it's just we can't afford it, you know, with certain films. And, you really have to look carefully. And some people don't want us to riff on their movies. They some people complain and then take the money, you know. One guy said, I remember we were clearing the rights, and a guy said, hey, I know my movie wasn't Citizen Kane, but where's that check? I'll take it.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, yeah. Well, let me ask you, what director has been the most gleeful to have it get the Mystery Science treatment, one of their projects?
Oh, I'm trying to think. It's mostly the actors that I've had contact with. Mostly have a really great sense of reality about it when they've been in these movies, because they go, hey, it was 5 days of my life. I'm not married to it. I don't care if you're like having fun with it. I'm an entertainer, you know. So
but
I'm grateful to say most of them are really gracious and fun about it. So,
well, you know what?
I remember one during season 12, there was a director producer named Charlie Band, who had produced
yes.
From Charles Band.
Yes, I know that.
Daytime ended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Legendary B-level movies.
Yeah, yeah. He's like the patient zero of video stores. Right. His stuff is always in those kind of mom-and-pop shops. But we approached him to rip a film he produced called The Day Time Ended in season 12 on Netflix. And he was just like, sure, yeah, I'll see if I can help you guys find a print. And he was really raring to go. Yeah. So
well, there's a documentary on him and his company and the whole thing. But you know what's cool is that, and I think Mystery Science Theater has never strayed from this, like I've always told people, a real cult movie doesn't set out to be a cult movie. A real cult movie is happenstance. It's lightning in a bottle, and that's why you veered from things that have been actively trying to get that status, and that's why it's continued to work.
It's true. We do have people approach us when they do kind of a tongue-in-cheek movie. Like they want it both ways. They want to try to present a science fiction horror movie or fantasy movie, and they're like winking at the camera the whole time.
Right. Yeah.
And we just can't do that because that kind of started, you know, after we did Mystery Science Theater, like, oh, we have a feeling we're in the middle of a bad movie, so we're going to admit it. And then once they do that, it's kind of like, well, there's nothing for us to really participate with. And, so yeah, they do approach us and things like, this is going to be fantastic. And we just don't do those.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Steve, you make me think of you know, it's a lot of times like the first out of the gate is the one that is kind of the groundbreaker, and then when that has success, other movies are like, oh well, we got to do that. And what comes to mind is Nick, you and I love the movie Dazed and Confused, right? And it was I don't necessarily know if it was a great movie, but.
I just watched it. It's so cool.
Yeah. But after that, there were a few movies that were trying to be Dazed and Confused. There was one called The Stoned Age. Do you remember that one, guys?
Stoned Age. Yeah. I've never seen that one.
Well, don't. Don't waste your time.
Unless, watch Dazed and Confused.
All you had to say was don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Message received.
Might be good for Mystery Science Theater 3000, though. So I don't know. Well, listen, it's cool. We love that you guys are you know, the fan base wants more. You guys want to give them more. It looks like it's happening.
And in a way, we have helped a little bit, Preston, because they're looking for more. They want to keep the finances coming in and helping. So in our small way, we hope we've contributed.
Hey, guys, Philly is a huge market, and you're a big show on that market. I mean, it's, what, the sixth largest city?
Yeah.
I mean, we're really into, you know, kind of acknowledging that we make a show, a national show out of Philly. We're really proud of that.
We love it.
We are too.
We thank you so much for the support. It's great.
Anytime. So good luck, guys. We'll make sure people are aware of the Kickstarter campaign and how to get on and contribute. You guys have a good weekend. Joel Hodgson, Matt McGinnis.
Yeah!
Thank you, guys. We'll
have
see
you. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Nice. That's cool, man. You know, they've got their diehard fans, and they want more.
I love fandom like that.
Yeah, me too.
I love, like, that's why I love the Monster Mania here, the local horror convention, and anything like that. Any level of genre fanaticism, it just is right in my wheelhouse.
Would you say it's a smart humor by any chance, Steve?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it definitely is. It didn't hit me right away. I need the dumb stuff, but my little brother, who, you know, has a... He's smarter than I am. He loved this show, right off the bat.
It's eclectic references.
Yeah.
And that's why you'd get something as bizarre as a reference to us on the show. And that's what's great. But like a perfect Mystery Science. In fact, it's the one they used for the movie, which is This Island Earth, which is a science fiction movie that has everything you'd want to make fun of in it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, somebody said to me a while back that when I call my little brother, that it's...
Annoying.
Not that it's annoying, but it's like almost like condescending and degrading.
No, it's not.
Okay,
it's your younger brother.
Yeah,
I don't think it's condescending, but I do notice that you say that. Like, I don't say that. I don't say my little brother. I'll say, oh, my youngest brother or my middle brother.
So, all right. But I have an older brother and a younger brother, so I have my big brother and my little brother, and that's kind of how I refer to them.
Yeah, I mean, same thing.
Brother, you could say youngest.
Brother Majora and brother Minor.
Minor, okay. I like that. No, little brother's little brother.
All right, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
My little brother didn't tell me to stop calling him little brother.
Yeah, who told you that?
It was probably somebody who doesn't like to be called little brother.
Where did you hear about this?
It was like an email.
Oh, okay.
Are they upset that I call Kathy little mama? I
no,
love
as
mama.
A matter
and I
of fact,
call you Big Daddy. So it's yeah.
Hey, that was Mama. That's right, little Mama.
Okay. Mama. I heard a Mama reference the other day. I was watching Caddyshack, and when they have the caddy day at the pool,
yeah.
and Lacey Underall comes
oh,
out,
right.
the one guy, the sleazy guy who's yeah. the caddy, says, "Hey, Mama!"
Yeah,
like Mama. Who the hell says Mama?
It's like
an antiquated term.
Occasionally, when you hear somebody mama. Go, "That's my old lady,"
yeah, the old lady,
yeah,
Mama. All right, you know what? Today's Friday, and if I don't get to these stories, they're going in the trash, folks. So it's time to clean out the junk.
Oh!
I know we did this yesterday, but we did a super, super short one. And I have other things.
And it left us empty inside.
And some good stuff, by the way. Let me dig in. I was happy to see this, even though it's in California and I'll probably never get to it. But Walt Disney will open the long-anticipated Avengers-themed attraction
yeah.
at its California Adventure Park oh, yeah. on June 4th. And I think it's called, like, the Avengers Campus or something like, Steve. Oh, I saw yeah. a mm. picture of it, and it looks like the Avengers headquarters.
That's oh, man. So cool.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I know. You'll get there. You can get there.
And here's what I'm excited that Disney has, you know, they bought
yeah.
all that property. And by that, I mean the Avengers property, the Marvel property, the MCU property, because Universal has the Marvel Comics.
Yes.
Which is different. But if they can start putting together some rides and attractions, it will
look what they did
I
with
will
Harry
be
Potter.
An old man,
yeah,
at Disney World
doesn't matter.
Going to these things,
look what Universal did with Harry yes. Potter. Look yes. what that realization. Look what they've done with Star Wars. Now, from the time that it's completed to whatever, it'll be what 9 years from now that you'll be able, you know, to get access.
They'll
to
have lots of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. I mean, still, the more the merrier, and yeah. to what I. What they can do now, when you go to the Harry Potter thing in Universal, that, I have to use that as
that's a benchmark.
It's
amazing.
Yeah. It's just astonishing.
Yeah. It's amazing how much the Avengers and Marvel Universe has become part of my daily life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I either watch it or reference it, or my son and I will talk about, like, hey, what do you think of this theory? You know,
yeah, yeah.
and it's every day.
I just don't see it. I don't see it how it can get any better. You know what I mean? I don't see how the effects, the stories, all this stuff. I don't see how it can get any better. It's at the right time. We've said this many times, Steve. We live in a great time right now for
we
people
do.
Like us.
So Falcon and Winter Soldier is every bit as good and theatrical as a major movie release.
Yeah.
Effects-wise, scripting-wise, performance-wise, execution-wise. So
with,
I think
with room to breathe.
With room to breathe.
Because it's got hours.
I think the benchmark, I think the idea here, Preston, is how long can they go without a stinker? I mean, man. Everything has been good to great.
Yeah. And the only one that I can think of is like, I don't really care about it, was Hulk.
Yeah.
Incredible. And it's not horrible,
right,
but
yeah.
it was just like,
it's all right.
That one's not as great.
Yeah. I just don't understand the end
but
of
others.
It. Well, Hulk, the first Hulk, I'm like, whatever.
That's the,
the Incredible Hulk. The only thing I don't like about it is at the end, like Abomination, like she just yells stop and then he stops and then Abomination's like, good fight, man. And then like that's the end of it.
Right.
Like that's the only part.
Don't dwell on it.
No, I really don't. I really don't. But do you guys think that at any point they will, because this universe is expanding, at any point they will just reboot it? And start from scratch.
So you're going to have stars that are aging out of certain roles.
Yeah.
So I think yes, that's going to be a product of it. What I would really like to see, honestly, is a reimagining of. Now they already did it with the first class with the
X-Men. Yeah.
But I there's talk of them again, like going restarting, rebooting Wolverine with Wolverine in the classic uniform
mm-hmm.
and a smaller guy the way he is, the way we were first introduced to him. I'd kind of like to see that.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't doubt it that Casey, in another decade or so, they might start to research and maybe take it in a different universe.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
that's the
same.
Look at Batman.
Yeah.
Look at how many times Spider-Man can just mm-hmm. keep getting reimagined.
So Disney acquired the Avengers characters as part of its 2009 acquisition of Marvel Entertainment for $4 billion. And it's been working on integrating them into the theme parks. Fans will be able to see Spider-Man in true form slinging front through the air over the new campus like Tinkerbell does over Disneyland's castle.
That'd be awesome.
Dude! And because of COVID limitations, all visitors will need to book a specific date when they buy their tickets, and they better move fast. Disney's four parks in Orlando, which are operating at reduced capacity due to the pandemic, were sold out for several days this month during spring break, and not every ride will be open. The company is still looking to wow guests with new attractions, many of which are already well along in construction. A Ratatouille ride, that could be fun. Modeled after one in Disney Paris, will open later this year in Orlando. And a Star Wars-themed hotel, we've talked about that, will
That's
be debuting
very cool.
soon.
Where you're actually, it's sort of a role-playing thing. You're everyone there is acting as if you're on basically a Star Wars space station or something.
Fans will have to wait for other projects in the works, including a Tron roller coaster. I'm excited about that one. And a Guardians of the Galaxy ride in Florida. That's got so many possibilities to it as well. And also a remodel of the Splash Mountain attractions, and they're going to incorporate the Princess and the Frog theme into that.
I want to see how the Misery ride is, where they break your ankles.
Oh my God. I will not go on that one. I like
the whole
all
thing.
Rides,
you're in a bed yeah.
the whole
time.
Thing. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Do you think maybe the Guardians of the Galaxy ride would be? Remember when in the second movie where they kept jumping through all of the the portals?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you think it would be something like that? That would be cool.
I don't know.
I don't know.
It could be.
I get so excited.
Build it.
About it.
So anyhow, yeah, they're going to be opening up this Avengers camp or Avengers campus, which should be cool.
Speaking of Star Wars, I just didn't want to get into the weekend while referencing the video that a lot of people were sharing yesterday with a dog seeing Darth Vader for the first time. Rex Chapman posted it on his Twitter account. And then Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker himself, actually commented on it, too. It's so cool to see a dog react in a way that he does.
It's hilarious.
Darth Vader. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Have you seen it, Steve?
I have not.
It's really good.
It's
super
cute.
Like, the dog's actually watching TV. Like, that's the crazy part.
That is cool.
All right. Let me see what else I got in here in a junk drawer before we head into the weekend. Was that a mousetrap that I heard?
Ow.
Ouch.
Bill wanted that.
Yeah. We were talking the other day about home improvement shows. If you want $1,000, you could just watch a bunch of those shows. Review Home Warranties, a website dedicated to reviews and comparisons of home warranty providers, says it'll pay somebody $1,000 to watch at least 10 episodes of three TV shows dedicated to home improvement projects in a one-month period.
Okay. $1,000? No, that's not. No, you need more. I need more.
And then you complete a worksheet for each experience. You need more?
$1,000?
I'll do it.
For watching 10 shows?
Yeah. How many shows? Just 10 episodes?
We hear about this thing from time to time. Like, is it mostly about PR for these companies?
It is.
There's one of those. Sure. You can get paid $2,000 to watch a bunch of Oscar movies, which, you know, it sounds
great. There's some wine ones and all kinds. And yeah, it's because, wow, that's pretty crazy. And then they send the press release out and everybody's like, hey, that's pretty crazy. And then, you know, they end up spending $1,000 for hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of advertising.
Yeah, okay.
But somebody's going to get that job.
Right. Sure.
So you may as well take a shot at it.
I do like home improvement shows. If it was like 10 series or 10 episodes. 10 episodes for
10
grand?
Episodes.
That's fine.
Yeah, for 10 episodes of three TV shows and in a one-month period. So it's not like you have to sit down in one weekend and knock them all out.
Steve, I know you like watching those shows, and you're now a huge fan of Discovery Plus. Do you follow any home improvement, not necessarily celebrities, but any home improvement handles on Instagram or anything like that?
No, okay. I don't. Yeah.
There's a local guy who does, and he has a ton of followers, and he does like all these outdoor decking things.
Really?
And he's based in New Jersey. I think he's like Premier Outdoor or Premier Outdoor Living or something
like that.
No, but he is a huge fan. Well, all right. So this is a callback as well. He's a huge fan of the show, and his like main guy that he works with is the guy that lived with female Joe Pesci.
Oh, and, there you go. What a small world.
But so this dude, he's got like 62,000 followers, and it's all just because of these. He's really good with his social media stuff.
Do you know what I keep seeing popping up, Case? There's a female contractor, and she pops up on Twitter and Instagram, and she has an OnlyFans page as well. And so she's attractive, but knows her stuff. She's a local girl as well. I guess, you know, people like to watch people do this stuff. I know I do when they're putting together things and working on this stuff. So there's a whole There's a whole subculture out there.
People like to watch charismatic or good-looking people do these things.
Yeah. I mean,
if you get somebody who's a bad host at these, I don't stick around for them. They don't have to be good-looking. They just have to be engaging for me to be a part of that, too. But, I enjoy watching this stuff. And I do not participate in any of this stuff in real life at all. I don't. But I will watch those shows. It is kind of cool to watch them create and transform.
I love it.
All right, let me see here. What are they? I should say that every time. Yeah. Every time I get a story.
No, then you're the rustler, the cattle rustler.
The rustler. So, University of Miami researchers found that when male and female patients experience the same amount of pain, observers viewed female patients' pain as milder and more likely to benefit from psychotherapy than medication. Both males and females were found to be guilty of this gender bias, which could lead to disparities in treatments and women in pain not getting the medication they need. So essentially it says that women's pain is not taken as seriously as men's pain.
The perception is it takes more to make a man feel pain. Like a man's going to be more durable and less like, right? That's probably what they're thinking.
That might be it. Oh, she's not hurting. Right. She's just a woman.
Yeah. So what doctor wouldn't look?
Right?
Be celebrated. I'll tell you this. I have been told, and I hope it's true, I don't want to put it to the test, that I have a high pain tolerance.
Really?
Yes.
Shell has a higher pain tolerance than I do, I think.
You know why? Probably, Steve, is that you've been through some stuff.
Yes.
And I think that that helps to build it up. My dad has a higher pain tolerance than my mom, and I think in part, although my mom gave birth to three boys, in recent history, my dad has been through some more things than she has.
That and could so, be it.
You know, they both got the COVID vaccine, which is fantastic. It didn't affect him at all, and it affected her a lot. And I think part of that was because he's been through some medical treatments recently.
Yeah, that certainly could be valid.
So I think I've been told so much, oh, you're such a baby, that I think that I have no pain tolerance. I'm not good with anything, you know, like little things like needles make me queasy and things like that. But then I've gone through like a couple of things where people are like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, why? And this doctor was like, well, most times when this is done, people are freaking out. You must have a high tolerance for pain.
You got your nipple pierced, right?
No, but I'm just saying, like, I think to what you're saying is you've been told so much. You're a baby. You're a girl.
Yeah.
No. When in reality, I had no idea, but maybe I do have some sort of tolerance.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And you've been terrified of childbirth your entire life because of the pain thing, right?
No, not really.
I thought it was the pain thing. I thought you'd...
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I mean, listen, the epidural, I don't know that I could have ever gone through that. But no, I don't think it was... No, because I don't know what it's like. So,
right.
Not really.
It feels great.
Oh, yeah. That's what I keep hearing. I have no idea what kind of pain tolerance I have. I really don't. Like, I don't know if I'm good.
Let me kick you in the balls.
Yeah. Well, no.
Okay.
I think there might be other ways that we could gauge it. You know?
Punch him in the balls.
Doesn't have anything to do with my ball sack.
You know how they gauge pain tolerance? They use ice. I've heard where you actually dip your arm or hand into ice cold water and how long you can stand it and how you rate the pain. I've read studies.
I think I've heard that as well.
Well, all right. So that's interesting because Bert Kreischer did an ice bath a couple of weeks ago, and he put it up on his Instagram. I don't know if it was on his stories or not, but he sat in an ice bath for like 2 minutes straight or something like that, and he was able to do it and didn't hem or haw about it. And I was wondering myself, I'm like, I wonder how long I could actually sit in an ice bath.
So I did the polar bear challenge.
Okay.
Right? I did the, and Kathy, you did it as well, right?
Yeah.
And it was 20 degrees when I did it the day I did it, and it was not bad. You also did, though, the cryogenic thing, right?
Oh, man.
You did it too, Preston.
It sucks.
Oh, it's so
I
cold.
Still have like five or six treatments that I just haven't gone to.
I don't think I've ever said the F word
so many times in a row.
Consistently that many times in a row in my life. It was just like F, 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 F.
What was your after treatment experience? Because it's supposed to be really rejuvenating, right?
I felt really good afterwards. And I was going for some pain, like for back pain.
Right.
And they say that it can help with inflammation and all that kind of stuff. And I would say immediately after, for like the day, it helped me for sure. But the like going and actually, and it's 3 minutes.
Yeah.
That's
it.
It's just 3 minutes.
Oh my God, it's so cold.
But I can't. Okay. It's like, it has to be the perfect time. Like, what time of day? What time of year? I have these, and I'm like, it's still too cold out. Like, I can't walk from cold into even colder. And so it just has to be, like, everything lined up perfectly for me to get there. And I haven't done it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if that is a true gauge of pain tolerance then, the cold thing.
Yeah,
because
I don't know.
I get, even more so these days, like, I get those chills, like, oh, my God,
there's a little breeze.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sweat around at the beach.
Preston, I don't know. I don't think I would categorize it as pain.
No, I didn't count it as pain, but it's different when you're going into water, you know, and ice. But I thought I had read that that's how they do this. What are you looking at?
They kick you in the balls, Preston.
Well, there's that other thing that we talked about off air, was that weird association with redheads being able to experience more pain.
I do have that in the junk drawer.
Oh.
But they experience less, right?
Less.
I meant to say being able to tolerate more pain.
Yeah, so it's a mechanism that ups their susceptibility to sunburns that helps them. So the findings describe the mechanistic basis behind earlier evidence suggested varied pain thresholds in different pigmentation backgrounds, according to the doctor that did the study. So the research found that the cells that determine skin color, called melanocytes, play a large role in deciding how people experience pain. As fire-haired folks boast a faulty melanocyte, they can't process enough dark pigment to tan, which has the added effect of elevating their threshold to being pain and for pain. So an examination of red-furred mice revealed that their melanocytes function similar to that of rust-haired humans. Like all people with red hair, the rarest hair color, by the way, they boast a melanocyte receptor called melanocortin 1, whose primary directive is determining when the body produces dark brown and black coloration. But anyhow, the receptors doesn't function. In redheads, that receptor doesn't function, which makes their skin virtually unable to tan, as well as more vulnerable to sunburn. And despite their increased sun sensitivity, they're also less likely to feel that burn. Your body has set up that even though you will burn,
you won't feel it
as much,
which could be a problem.
Receptors reduce the production of a chemical called POMC, causing lower levels of various hormones. This in turn brings about equilibrium between pain-inhibiting and pain-enhancing receptors, boosting the function of the pain-dulling opioid sensor not manufactured by the skin's color. So you have a natural pain fighter in your body, essentially, right, if you're a redhead.
That can be so, like, there are people who can't feel pain, and they have to be wildly aware of things that could kill them, or they're not able to know that, for example, they're on fire. But that's interesting.
All right, so there's a caller online too. I'm not telling you to go to him, but he's talking about how when you go to a doctor and sometimes you're experiencing pain and they ask you to rank it at, you know, 10 out of 10 or whatever. Right. What do you think is the closest you have ever come to a 10 out of a 10 pain?
We've talked about that. It's when I had my pilonidal cyst lance.
And was that a 10, do you think?
That was a 10,
dude. That was a 10?
It was. I was very close to passing out.
Yeah.
Very close to fainting. So, yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to invite this on myself, but I don't think I've ever been in that realm.
What's the closest to a 10 do you think you've gotten?
It's the most pain you've ever felt.
Yeah.
Most painful experience. You ever break a bone?
Because I've broken some bones. I've twisted ankles, sprained ankles, and sprained ankles hurt way more than they should. But when I separated my shoulder, that's probably the worst pain I've ever experienced.
I can tell you, like a bad Charlie horse, like a bad, like a toothache. Like a really bad toothache. I'll still put that in the 7 range.
Yeah,
but like
not Nick, all the way to 10.
You've experienced a couple of things that I would never know anybody.
The worst for me was not the actual break when I broke my collarbone, and that sucked. I was skiing, but I had to then have my sweatshirt taken off after.
They didn't cut it off. They made you lift your arm.
Well, no, they eventually did cut it off because I could not lift my arm. And then actually the surgery following that, because the break was so bad, they had to put in a plate and 6 screws. That surgery was pretty awful because then like you feel it in your bone of where the screws went. You know?
That was so worse than your Achilles.
The collarbone break was worse than the Achilles and the broken ankle.
There was another time I sliced. I have a scar. See that on my palm right there, Case? Yeah, I did that with a knife. It was a pretty deep cut. Probably should have gotten stitches, but didn't. And after I cut it, I went and I ran it under the sink. Oh, my God, did that hurt.
I got lemon juice in a cut one time while working in a kitchen, and it may sound like I'm a wuss, but that sucks.
That hurts. That's it.
I almost passed out from that.
Have you ever passed out from pain?
From pain. Well, I'll tell you, it was close when I fell down the stairs at Blarney Castle. I'd hit my back so hard. I fainted. That was from a concussion. I got knocked out, so that's a little bit different on a motorcycle accident that I had.
So when you fell down in the Blarney Castle, you fell down on your tailbone?
No, it was my lower back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I fell skiing. I fell on my tailbone. And
your coccyx.
Coccyx. And I almost pooped my pants as a result, which was crazy.
That's your button.
Yeah. It was kind of like hitting a button. I fell right on my tailbone. And, I mean, it hurt. But then I was like, oh, my God. And then the worst part is the people on the ski lift yelling down at me like, "Oh, you fell!" And I was like, "I'm gonna crap my pants!
I'm to die!"
Did you say that?
I might have, dude. I might have, but it was.
We'll be back to watch. Yeah. Pull your pants down when you do it. We want to see the poop actually coming out. Thank you.
But I wasn't sure if that's like a normal reaction
to crap yourself,
or if I was just lucky.
I don't know. It might be. There's a bundle of nerves down there, dude. It could.
There's got to be a crap switch, right?
Right?
Kristen from down the hall, who's a redhead.
Crap yourself?
She's standing right out here.
Oh. Yeah.
Kristen Herman, come in here.
Hey!
Come in here. She was just standing outside. What about her?
I wanted to see if she has a higher pain tolerance.
Yeah, so Kristen is your standard redhead. She has fair skin, freckles, and beautiful red hair. Your hair is gorgeous, Kristen.
Thank you.
By the way, she's the program director of Ben FM down there. And she used to be our intern. How is your level for pain?
I think that I'm a wuss.
Really?
And actually, like, I see this study, but they also have a study that says we need more anesthesia. And that's how I go to the dentist and I want like 5 shots. I feel everything.
She's right. She's right, Preston. In fact, we talked about that. For some reason, that redheads will require more. At a dentist, would require more anesthesia.
I remember that.
So how do you have both running contemporaneously?
I don't get it.
But Kristen, you've done like roller derby stuff, like you know badass stuff. Yeah. Did you ever injure yourself while doing that? And did that ever hurt bad?
You know, I'm pretty good with that. I can tolerate like any kind of hit or whatever. My biggest injury was at an after party. I was really drunk. Hurt my ankle. Dancing.
Well, let me ask you.
Body slamming people in roller skates doesn't do it. It was the after party.
For like 15 years, too. And yeah, an after party after like a tournament of all these different games. And yeah, I was just dancing. And then my request came on. I still danced with like a hobble.
Did you ever pass out from pain?
No, never.
All right.
Okay. All right.
I do have a friend where any sort of numbing agent doesn't work on her. So same thing like Kristen. She's not a redhead, but same thing like Kristen. When she goes to the dentist, and she realized it when she was getting laser treatment done on her eyes.
Oh, that sucks.
She said, I can feel it. And they were like, oh, don't worry about it. You're okay. Okay. She said it felt like they were rubbing bricks on her eyes.
Thank you, Kristen.
Wow. Thank you, Kristen.
Bye.
Kristen Herman. Bye. One quick call, and then we got to take a break because we got to come back in order to get to our money clip. So let me, Casey wants me to go to Lori because she had the tailbone thing. Hey, Lori, good morning.
Good morning, It. How you
good
doing?
Morning. Good morning, It. We're good, Lori. We have, so what do you want to tell us about your tailbone pain?
Oh, I had to call in because Casey was talking about when he like fell on his tailbone and it hurt so bad. Mm-hmm. I broke my tailbone. I fell off my horse when I was riding my horse and broke my tailbone.
Oh.
So I am so with you, man. It is like white, hot, lightning pain that just shoots through your entire body. Like, you almost pass out. You almost want to puke. Oof. But, like, it's absolutely the worst pain in the entire world.
I did
it when I was 24, and I'm 40, and I'm still dealing with that pain.
Wow.
So you said passing out, you felt you might throw up, and just to follow up on Casey's thing, at any point did you feel you might crap yourself?
Okay. That part
happened. All right.
Well, I guess I'm the lucky one.
You are.
All right.
No joke, that pain.
No, yeah. It's,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what was recovery from like that? How? Because you can't be in any position and be comfortable.
It's basically like sit on a pillow or sit on, you know, stupid, what is it, donut floating.
Yeah. Oh, those donuts.
You know, take some pain medicine and, you know, suck it up.
Yeah. I actually had to go to, I was going to a Madonna concert in Philadelphia that night, and I knew I broke it. I just did like 5 shots of tequila because I wasn't going to miss the concert.
Yeah, Nick broke his leg dancing to Madonna.
Yeah, yeah, we have a lot in common.
All right, thank you, Lori.
Thanks, guys.
See you later. By the way, I'm not going to be able to... Well, okay, one quick call, and then we got a break. I promise you. I'm going to go to Ashley because she's going to talk about the medicine and anesthesia. Hi, Ashley. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. So I am a redhead. So the difference is we actually metabolize the pain medication differently, so it wears off faster.
All right, so even though you may have a high tolerance for pain... which redheads genetically do, it says, at least for the most part, but you also metabolize that medication differently. And therefore, when you do need it, you need more of it.
Yes. The dentist definitely overdoses.
You gingers are weird.
So
man.
Complicated. Always chasing the dragon.
I love you guys. Thank you, Ashley. We appreciate it.
Have a good weekend.
All right. You too. See you later. All right. Well, there you go. Listen, we really got to wrap it up now. That's all we have time for the junk drawer. So glad I got a few of those stories out. But please, yes. Okay, from here on out, whenever we do this, please do that. We're going to break. We're going to come back in a second, and we're going to get your money clip for the day. Let's give you some cash. We'll be right back.
Sarah gets you caught up on Weezer, Royal Blood, and Bonnaroo. Plus, a look at Angus Young and 19 other short kings in rock history. And a handwritten note from a 15-year-old Dave Grohl. It's the internet right in the feels. WMMR.com.
Before we do the word, Casey, I do want to give you some... something that'll make you feel good. There was a text from the last conversation that said, I fell on my tailbone while playing hockey. I instantly wanted to crap my pants.
Oh, okay.
There we go. You're not alone.
I'm not the only lucky one.
Yep. Okay, so it's 10 o'clock. We can do this now.
93.3 WMMR. It's time for a Preston and Steve money clip. Now, here's your money clip keyword.
Yes, this word can get you money. It's open. That's our keyword for the hour. Open, O-P-E-N. And you have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter it. Three ways to do that. Through text. Our special contest short code number is 45911. Or if you want to be entered for the $10,000 grand prize, enter it at the MMR app or at WMMR.com. One random entry wins $500 in our company-wide contest, and that person will get a call from our company, Beasley. Make sure that you answer your phone. Contest rules are available at WMMR.com, and our fine sponsor is Hyundai City. So the word again for this hour is open, O-P-E-N. A good luck to you.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it is brought to you by RoadCon Incorporated. If you have heavy and highway construction experience and would like to work for a company that values that experience, RoadCon wants to talk to you. Visit road-con.com to apply online. That's road-con.com. We'll start with this in South Korea. An art piece by an American graffiti artist showcased was damaged by a couple in their 20s who thought that the sets of paint and brushes laid out in front of the artwork was for spectators to use.
Oh, man.
Staff at the gallery exhibition noticed new brush strokes on the wall, small swipes of dark green to the right center on last Sunday. After checking the security camera, two suspects were taken by the police for investigation. And in their defense, when you look at what they painted, it looks like it was just part of the painting.
Oh, my God. It's a mess.
Yeah, the agency that organized the exhibition is currently negotiating with the artist to take appropriate steps.
Oh, come on.
The graffiti was not framed due to its large size, this piece of art.
We're not going to press any charges because the original work is just terrible.
The vandalized art was 22.9 feet by 7.8 feet and was the only piece in the exhibition without frames. John Andrew Perello, who goes by the name John One, does not plan to respond to the incident. He's the author. The damaged art piece by John One is worth around $440,000.
according to its agency. The graffiti, which is untitled, attracted even more public attention in South Korea after it was painted on, and it will hang until June 13th at the Street Noise Exhibition at the Seoul-based Lot World Mall.
What does it say that someone can come in, a civilian, adapt, you know, change the painting and no one notices?
Nobody would know. All right, now this is a different kind of vandalism. One of the most important pre-colonial historic sites in the southeastern United States has been damaged by vandals. Known as Track Rock Gap, the Georgia site, about 90 miles north of Atlanta, hosts an extensive series of rock carvings dating back 1,000 years, experts say. The ancient carvings are notorious for inspiring wild original stories, including theories of a Mayan settlement in the region. Photos shared on Facebook showed the vandals use a variety of means to damage the petroglyphs, including scratching them beyond recognition.
Oh, man.
And painting on top of them in bright colors. The carvings are considered irreplaceable. There appear to be 5 boulders that have been carved on and 2 painted.
Oddly, the words Tony loves Gina is from 1,000 years ago, Preston.
It is suspected that the damage may have occurred months ago, perhaps in 2020. Archaeologists have attributed the rock art to the Greek and Cherokee peoples who have inhabited the region for centuries. That's just...
You just hate to see that.
It's terrible. Yeah. This was a wild video that I saw. It's gone... It went viral. I think it was last week, and I'm finally getting to it. But an octopus can be seen in shallow waters lashing out at geologist Lance Carlson. The creature came after him again later and struck him on the arm before whipping his neck and upper back. I didn't know that octopus could do this. So it's in shallow water, and its tentacles, which are huge, come flying up out of the water.
Right.
And you hear it whipping.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. It's scary, man. So Carlson said only...
Put him up.
The tentacles left stinging red welts on his skin. It whipped him so hard, which Mr. Carlson said only eased after he poured soda on them.
Soda.
The former lifeguard told Australian News that his preferred treatment for sea animal stings is vinegar, but he did not have any on him at the time. However, he said that he knew anything acidic might help and decided to try using Coca-Cola, and it turns out it worked for him.
Of course.
Mr. Carlson said that... he was about to take a dip near the resort where he and his family were staying when he saw what he thought was the tail of a stingray striking a seagull. He discovered that it was an octopus. Only when he walked closer with his 2-year-old daughter and was filming the video of it is when it suddenly struck out in their direction. The octopus lashed out at us, he said, which was a real shock. Later, when he went into the water alone, the octopus found him and struck him. And then
he got rid of me.
Yeah. He said, my goggles became fogged, the water was suddenly murky, and I remember being shocked and confused.
I ended up, Nick, watching that My Octopus Teacher documentary.
Oh, I want to see that.
It's great, it's isn't great. It?
It's like kind of my favorite animal now as a result
they're
of
really
that.
They're really amazing.
They really are.
Really, and they're really smart.
All right, that's another one I got to put on the list. I got to see that. I've been hearing nothing but great things about that. All right, a man named David Marriott is currently in quarantine for 2 weeks in Brisbane, Australia, and is staying at a hotel there. I hope it's a Marriott. One day there, he decided to begin making a horse and cowboy outfit out of brown paper bags that his room service came in. He found an ironing board and used it as a skeleton for his horse, while coffee pods, I'm sorry, became the eyes and nostrils, and he used some white cardboard to create teeth. He also created himself a cowboy hat, vest, and chaps as well, just out of stuff he found in the hotel room.
It's pretty amazing.
It's hilarious. He posted about his creations online along with many plot lines, noting that he named the horse Russell.
He's a good artist.
Yeah. He is. It's really creative, actually. Let's see. A Walmart worker in West Virginia has been accused of stealing gift cards over a 5-month period. The gift cards ended up being worth $124,000.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Kenneth Workow was indicted Wednesday in federal court. Prosecutors say Workow, who is 63, was employed as an associate at a Walmart.
You got to go over to that $100,000 and up section of Walmart.
He is accused of stealing and activating the gift cards from September 2019 through January 2020. If convicted, Listen to this. He could face up to 20 years in prison.
Yeah.
And a $250,000 fine for each count.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So when you buy a gift card at Walmart, if you were to just take it off the shelves, it's not activated yet, right?
No.
Right.
You have to activate it at the register.
So he had access to the ability to do that, I guess.
Yeah. I guess so. He was an associate, so he must have figured out how to do it. All right. That's the last story I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. You have about 6 minutes or so to enter our word for $500 for the Preston and Steve Money Clip. And the word is open, O-P-E-N. You need to do that now, and there's three ways to do it. You can text it. Our special contest short code text number is 45911. Or if you'd like to be entered for the $10,000 grand prize, then you go through the MMR app or at WMMR.com. But you're running out of time, so get on that now. If you miss it now, you're busy, you're on the road, whatever, you can't do it, don't worry. Another shot coming up at noon, and then 2, 4, 6, and 8 again today alone. We'll be back in just a moment. Trash music news, that stuff's on the way.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
That band is Des Rocks on 93.3 WMMR. It's called This Is Our Life. Was I picking up on like a little Tiny Tim kind of in there?
Tiptoe through the tulips.
I heard that as well.
Okay, all right. Yeah. That was just me. We're all kind of doing our own thing while that song was playing, and I'm like, I thought I heard a little.
You had your headphones on. I was doing exactly that.
In there. That's why I put my headphones on, because I wasn't sure if it was just you doing that or if it was coming from the song. I'm like, I need to hear this. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Listen, Tiny Tim lives, man.
He does. He does. It reminds me, there's a character from SpongeBob that my kids still impersonate all the time. He's a surfer guy, and he laughs like that.
Oh, really?
I can't do it. I don't have the voice to do it, but that's what it reminds me of a little bit. Hey, so new music there from Des Rocks on MMR.
I thought it sounded like Muse. Did you guys hear Muse?
A little bit too, yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. On the more rocking part, less of the Tiny Tim part.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to do the lesson. We're going to do...
Hey, you did that on your own, pal.
Yeah. Guess what I get to do?
It was all you.
We're going to do the lesson question for today, and we're going to give away a pair of tickets for the Dry-Dean 400 NASCAR Cup Series.
Doesn't Dry-Dean sound like your cousin who wears Daisy Dukes? Dry-Dean's here, everybody.
The race at Dover International Speedway on Sunday, May 16th. So, question that we go with. How about this one? Which wrestler also once became a king? 215-263 WMMR. We'll see if you answer that correctly.
Yeah.
Which wrestler also once became a king? 215-263 WMMR is the number, and we will do the trash while we're waiting for that call.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Jersey Mike's. You can download the Jersey Mike's app, order ahead, and skip the line. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. What's up this morning, Steve?
Well, former playmate Kendra Wilkinson taking issue with Holly Madison's assertion that having sex with Hugh Hefner was required to live at the Playboy Mansion. Wilkinson says she never had sex with Hefner and lived at the mansion whenever the garage was empty.
Oh, my God.
Howard Weitzman, you might remember this name. He defended high-profile clients such as O.J. Simpson and Michael Jackson, has died at the age of 81. Weitzman passed from cancer at his home and reportedly whispered the words, "Michael, help O.J. kill them both." Oh! Now, wild. And finally, Ayanna Williams, owner of the Guinness World Record for longest fingernails at 19 feet, has finally clipped those nails. Williams says even though she lost that record, she maintains a second record for the most scarred butthole. That's your trash.
All right, we will see if someone knows the answer to this. Which wrestler once became a king? Remember, he had to have heard it on the show here earlier. 215-263-WMMR is the number. And I will go to Patrick. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, rock and roll.
Rock and roll, buddy. All right, so which wrestler once also became a king?
Kong Bundy.
Yes, you said it correctly. Kong Bundy. King Kong Bundy.
Right.
Patrick gets a pair of tickets for the Dry Dean 400 NASCAR Cup Series race at Dover International Speedway. And that's on Sunday, May 16th. NASCAR is back at Dover International Speedway, May 14th through the 16th. You can get tickets now at DoverSpeedway.com. Here comes music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Velociraptor.
Let's begin with this. We mentioned this earlier this morning. Roger Waters has rolled out his 2022 tour dates, which are the rescheduled gigs from his ongoing This Is Not a Drill tour. All told, the Pink Floyd co-founder will play 36 dates across North America, kicking things off July 6th in Pittsburgh, and then they'll go through October in Dallas. By the way, Wells Fargo Center, August 5th and 6th, so two shows
nice
here in Philadelphia will be taking place. And once again, that's 2022. He said in a message, this is not a drill. It's a groundbreaking new rock and roll cinematic extravaganza performed in the round. It is a stunning indictment of the corporate dystopia in which we all struggle to survive and a call to action to love, protect, and share our precious and precarious planet home.
Does he do Everybody's Working for the Weekend?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Are you sure?
The show includes a dozen great songs from Pink Floyd's golden era, alongside several new ones, Words and Music. Same writer, same heart, same soul, same man. Could be, and it writes in this message, could be his last hurrah.
Uh-huh.
Wow, he says, my first farewell tour, don't miss it. Love, Roger. So,
wow, they begin the process. It's like the rock star equivalent of the long goodbye.
Yeah, exactly. So, there are several bands who have done their farewell tour.
And then another farewell tour.
And then the reunion tour.
Right.
And then the farewell tour.
And
so
farewell to the reunion tour.
We'll see where that goes.
How old is he? Mid-70s?
I got to imagine.
All right. It's like, obviously, the touring and all that can be a little bit taxing. But do you think he's at a level where he has to do all the same things that, like, all the other bands do? Like, do you think he has to show up to soundcheck?
He's kind of a perfectionist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
he also does catering.
Well, because soundcheck is for the artist. If it doesn't sound right to you, it's more for what they're hearing. Soundcheck. I'm sorry. It's also for the system, for the room.
Right.
It's for the mixers to get it right. But if it doesn't sound right on stage, the performer can't do their show.
Okay.
So they need to mix the monitors and all that stuff as well. So that needs to they need to be there for that. It's certainly gotten easier as far as some of the travel and stuff like that.
Sure.
They're not in buses and they can make sure that they space the things out. But listen, at some point, you maybe are not able to produce the way you used to be able to. I know people like, Paul Simon is retiring for good.
He's done.
Yeah, he's finished.
Had enough.
Yeah, so it there comes a time in the career. Rage Against the Machine have pushed their reunion tour back to 2022 due to the pandemic. The band's public service announcement tour is now set to open March 31st, and that'll be in Texas. Their opening act for the entire tour remains Run the Jewels. In keeping their original plan, Rage will begin the trek with a series of shows along the U.S.-Mexican border before making their way across to the rest of America.
So do you think they have to stay at a state of rage until then, or do they just go, like, fly fishing for a while?
I don't know. I don't think they can stay raging that
long. Who can rage that long?
Rage and stasis.
Yeah.
Lars Ulrich recalled first hearing Guns N' Roses back in the day and admitted that his mind was completely blown by the style, power, and passion of Appetite for Destruction. He told Spin Magazine, I was sitting on the airplane going through a bunch of cassettes that I finagled over at our record company, and one of them was Appetite. When It's So Easy, the second song came on, it blew my effing head off, he said. Ulrich went on.
Imagine the people sitting next to him.
On to remember, I had never heard anything with that kind of attitude. And it wasn't just what was said, it was the way that Axl said it. It was so venomous, it was so effing real, and so effing angry, he said. Which I totally get, absolutely. Yeah. And they were, you know, Metallica was as hard edge at that time as you could possibly get. But there was a certain tood, you know, because instead of kind of like, you know, James's way of singing, Axl had a completely different take vocally and made that stuff, you know, just absolutely explode when it came out. So I totally get it. All right, and then one last thing out today. Steve, you sent over a couple of clips from Cheap Trick. Their 20th studio album, In Another World, is out today. And the set, which was produced by Julian Raymond, includes the band's recent cover of John Lennon's 1971 Imagine classic, Gimme Some Truth. Cheap Trick's version was originally issued on vinyl in 2019 as a Black Friday Record Store Day release and features the Sex Pistols' Steve Jones on guitar. We have a couple of clips where Rick Nielsen spoke about meeting John Lennon.
Meeting John Lennon.
And they were longtime proponents of the Beatles.
He adores
Cheap
them.
Trick, you know, they did covers and were always making sure that they let the world know how much they loved the Beatles. So here's him talking about meeting John Lennon.
He's like, you know, one of my musical heroes for sure. I'm a guitar guy, so it's like I was looking at his guitars and I was playing a certain guitar, but he'd never seen one. So I said, well, if you want, here, just take mine, you know. I've got other guitars. This is August, and he got murdered in December.
Wow. And then he eventually got the guitar back?
Yeah.
All right, here's that clip.
I got my guitar back from Yoko about 3 years after. He said, John would like you to have this back. Got it shipped back to me from Yoko.
Wow, no kidding.
That's pretty wild, isn't it?
That's interesting. It's obviously terrible that John died, but the fact that he gave him that guitar, John obviously used it and enjoyed it and then got it back. That's pretty damn awesome.
Yeah. Pierre did a nice long block of Cheap Trick. I think it was on Wednesday, and he played one of the new songs off the new record. I don't remember the title of it, but it was good. It sounded like Cheap Trick. You know, Steve, we talked about, you know, AC/DC sounds like you want AC them to sound. That's what the new
Cheap Trick. Cool. I love that.
It was cool.
Nice. All right, that's it. That's the last thing I have in music news for you.
It's not music news, but it is that laugh that you were talking about from
from what?
From SpongeBob. It sounded like Des Rocks.
Okay.
Do it again.
Play Des Rocks.
My sons go around the house doing this all the time. I love that. Yeah. Okay. Are we going
to
play that?
No, we don't have to.
Well, if you want to compare.
I don't know what part of the song. I don't know how deep into the song it goes before we get to hear that, but hopefully it's not long. Let's find out.
Gonna make you understand this pain. Time keeps slipping, hours turn to days. There's a sense of regret.
Of course, it could take forever.
A little bit there.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got to do the remix for that.
Yay.
Okay. I'm sure our programming department loves it. We did that. All right, let's take a break, shall we? Case, is there anything? Have we given everything away, or do I have some stuff?
No, because we have this big friggin' deal.
We actually need to take some stuff back, Preston, from listeners.
Yeah, no. Give that away because the big friggin' deal is a...
It's a big friggin' deal.
All right, so these are the last two that I have to give away, and this is the big friggin' deal this week. It's from King Shooter Supply in King of Prussia, and they sell firearms and have a range, and so You get a classroom instruction for the fundamentals on handgun safety, safe handling, and firearms familiarization, and an hour of range time as well.
May I just mention? So
real quick, hold on. Let me get callers number 12 and 13.
Okay.
And we'll set you up. Go ahead.
Great, great. Yeah, so Preston, the experience is really great, and they take you upstairs. They have like a class situation, and you sit down, and they go through everything, and they go through every safety aspect. And then you go down to the range, which is really run really incredibly professionally and safely. And, the shooting sports are fun. Mm-hmm. And I was there with Dr. Mike, and we had a great time.
So we'll take those callers. And it's this week's Big Friggin' Deal. So if you want to get that same deal, it's only $75 at WMMR.com. So you get the classes, and you get an hour of range time for $75. You got to go to WMMR.com and put in the keyword deal, and you can get that deal. We'll take a break. We'll get ready to wrap it up. Word of the week. Give away that prize. All that good stuff. We'll be right back.
MMR spotlights the best rock in Philadelphia with Jackson's Local Shots.
That's right. And this month's artist is Liz DeLees. Liz DeLees, your local Shots artist of the month for April. Check him out every Wednesday at 6:30 right here on the Mighty MMR.
And you can hear and see more now at WMMR.com. Keyword, local shots.
Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Philly.
10:43 on Friday. Weather-wise, today, just a tiny bit cooler. 65 degrees, kind of where we're going to top out. But the clouds linger for the day. And we'll have maybe a little bit of rain tomorrow morning, but then cloudy the rest of the day, high 71. And then Sunday's going to be the rainiest day, which means rain a little bit in the morning, and then clear through the afternoon, and then the evening we're going to get some heavy rain. But the high temperature on Sunday is going to be 77 degrees. But during that window, it should be pretty wonderful day, other than the clouds being around. But temps are nice. I want to thank our guests, Joel Hodgson and Matt McGinnis.
Yay!
From Mystery Science Theater 3000. They're doing a Kickstarter to help create some more shows, and the fans are coming through like gangbusters. They made $2.25 million yesterday alone.
It takes us a week to do that.
At least.
Yeah.
And now they're great guys, so it was cool talking to them for just a moment. We have one more guest, and it's Michael who's on, and he's a last-minute guest. Hey, Michael, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Wonderful. So I said you're our guest. What's special about you, Michael? Do tell.
So I actually just won $500.
Yes, he did. And a story to tell and money to spend.
What a way to wrap up the week.
That's a beautiful thing. Where are you from, Michael?
I'm from Phoenixville.
Phoenixville. Cool. You got any weekend plans?
Not much. Just working and hanging out with the girlfriend.
Nice. Well, you can buy her something special if you would like to now, because you got an extra $5 in your pocket, which is cool. What do you do, Michael? Do you work in Phoenixville or somewhere else?
I work all around. I actually work for your guys' favorite jingle, Safe Flight.
Oh!
Safe Flight Repair. Safe Flight Replace.
Yes.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, I listen to you guys every morning.
Excellent, man. Well, thank you. We appreciate that. And as a thank you to you and your loyalty to our show and this radio station, $500 for you, Michael.
Absolutely.
Congrats.
Thank you, guys. You guys rock.
Have a good weekend. Thanks, bud. We appreciate it. Sponsored by Hyundai City, you will have another chance to win the Preston and Steve Money Clip Money. Pierre's going to have that in just a little while, a little over an hour, actually. And then he does it again at 2. And then Jackson's got a couple times. And then Jackie has another opportunity for you to win. So don't miss those opportunities. It's so easy to win. Good morning, sir.
Hey, you guys.
Nice to see you.
Very nice to see you. Very nice indeed. Before we get going, I wanted to send a collective. I can't do that thing that you do.
Chart
out.
I can't.
Yes, you can.
I can't.
You can do a zap. You have a zap. Yeah, do a zap.
I don't have the zapper with
me.
Well,
we I got you. Yeah. I got a zapper.
We got you, bro.
You know, because in the spirit of compromise and getting along, we could do both. I wanted
a zart.
Which would be like...
Is that...
There it is.
That was pretty good.
Not, yeah, that was relatively concealed.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Which is understated for you guys.
All right, so who do you want to send a shout out to?
Well, to our dear friend Captain Dale.
Yes.
And I've been meaning to mention this on our crossover each day, but and I talked about him last week, but haven't talked about him this week. But and you guys were on vacation last week, so you know, he's had a rough time of it. He's got COVID, and he's been in the hospital for a while, and he did go on a ventilator, so it got more serious. However, his condition is improving each
good.
Day.
Yeah,
they, I guess, I don't know how you measure that when that happens, but, you know, he's a younger guy. So this is a further message to people that this can happen to anyone at any time. And he was very safe and very careful, and still this happened to him. So his wife, Wendy, is putting out updates, and Rodney keeps us updated on it. And he's Rodney's right-hand guy to Camp Out for Hunger, and he's just a lovely human being. So we want to send our collective love and energy and healing and good wishes to our friend Captain Dale.
Absolutely. Hang in there, Dale. We're with you, buddy.
And they have a radio. Oh, just as that. God damn it.
You spoke too soon.
Oh, man.
I've really, maybe I've had a little NPR impact on the boys, but no. As soon as this first second COVID is over, the strippers are going to be returning, leaking on the couch. I mean, just, I know it's coming in.
But they'll be NPR strippers.
They will be NPR strippers.
Very book smart.
Glasses on and stuff.
Very bookish.
Glasses, yeah.
Yeah. Long summer dresses.
How about we get that letter from you, man?
I think that's the thing to do now.
All right.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter
T, as in Thomas.
All right, and we're just going to take caller number 5 at 215-263-WMMR. And if you happen to know what those letters all make, all 5 of them, then you can have a shot at winning our prize. So call right now, number 5, you get to take a shot at it. We want to hear from you. With a Friday laid out before us, what special things do you have going on today, man?
Happiness.
Yeah.
Happiness.
No sad, bro.
No sad, B-R-O-O. Mm-hmm. And that's my goal for today. Okay. Happiness. I want to see in the next 4.5 hours if we can provide collective happiness for you, our listeners, and our friends, and lift you up in any way, shape, or form.
Pierre didn't get you the sheet yet, did he?
What? You know,
what you're doing for the rest of the day.
Oh, no, I got it.
Oh, you got it? Okay.
I got it. All right. The overall theme is going to be happiness.
Oh, okay. I thought you were
now, happiness can manifest in several ways.
In all sorts of different things.
It rains down from the happiness sky in different ways, like the President Steve Money Clips at noon and 2, which I'm very familiar with and love
those
it.
Times? You know, you're familiar with those times?
When I look at the sheet, I am.
Yes, okay.
And Jackson has it at 4 and 6, and even Bambino has it at 8 p.m.
And when he gets a winner, he's just nuclear.
Well,
yeah,
he
yeah.
calls everyone. He calls Caroline Beasley, you know, in Florida at midnight.
Yeah.
Caroline! Yeah. I mean, I'm going, Jackie, don't call Caroline. She's really got things to do. She's like the CEO. But she really likes me. I know she does. Don't call her.
Yeah.
Okay? Call Casey.
Yeah.
Call Pancake.
And they
have kids and are really busy, but call them instead of her. We want you to stay employed. And Jackie's got it at 8 p.m., but I've got Workforce Blocks of Queen and Soundgarden and the great, late great, but great nonetheless, Warren Zevon. So it's going to be fun. Happiness.
Fantastic.
All right, we'll see if we can get a winner, and I'm going to go to Sandy, who is caller number 5, and see if she knows the word of the week. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. Good morning, It.
Good morning, It, Sandy. What's our word of the week, please?
It is Brent.
Cadillac! Cadillac Brent Porsche.
Woo-hoo!
Absolutely correct, Sandy. Nice and simple. I got $300 for you. Some cash to stick in your pocket, all right?
That's awesome. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks for listening. Thanks for paying attention and keeping track of the letters and making the word. Hang on the line. We'll get your information. We'll give you that $300. It's from the Bagster, a dumpster in a bag. perfect for all home improvement cleanups, and you just pick one up today at any of your local home improvement stores. Buy, fill, gone, and then you are done. I want to thank our sponsors, the Preston and Steve radio program today, brought to you by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show, and Acme Markets, fresh foods, local flavors, and then finally by Steakums, the delicious, thinly sliced meat brand, or slicely thin.
Slicely thin,
as Casey would
No,
say.
It's thin slicely.
Thin yeah. slicely.
One of your favorite items.
So thank you, Steakums.
I love that band.
Next weekend on the program, we have comedian John Doerr joining us.
Nice.
We have Danica McKellar on yeah. the program. She is the best. And our good friend and former intern, Jake Matera, will be headlining. At Helium Comedy
That's
Club.
Sensational.
So we'll talk to Jake. We're very proud of him. That's cool. That is it. We are done. We want you to have a safe and great and no sad bro weekend. And we will see you on Monday, gang. Bye-bye.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Hey, everybody. It's good to have you on the map.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.